You're listening to Retronauts, a part of the HyperX Podcast Network. Find us and more great shows like us at podcast.hyperx.com.
This week on Retronauts, oh, big! Hello, everyone. Welcome to Retronauts. We are here. We are armed and we are ready to discuss Metal Slug. Yes, the long running sort of, it still exists series of shooters. It began all the way back in 1986, but it's not just me. Hello, Diamond Fight. Should have said my name, but, I'm not alone here. I've got squad mates. Let's start first in the UK with a Retronauts regular.
Oh, hello. My name is Stuart Jupp, and I just want to say one thing before we move on, and that thing is Iron Lizard.
Thank you. Is that your nickname in high school, Stu?
I don't want to get into it.
All right. And joining us from the United States in, I don't know where in the United States, but somewhere on the west side. Oregon.
Hi. My name is Matt Hall. I go by Lord BBH on the internet. This is my first time on a Retronauts podcast, so thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. I did not realize we'd be pulling the curtain back on your careful identity.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
You're great.
It's not a big secret.
All right. Please, since you're new here, why don't you give folks a quick overview of who you are, just so people know who you are, why you're
okay,
here.
Okay, yeah. I'm a huge arcade nerd. I've been going to arcades for like pretty much in my entire life. I've always had this fascination with arcade games. My parents would usually, my dad would take me to the arcade when I was little, and then eventually they kind of had enough trust in me that they would just drop me off for a few hours and then pick me up. I was a little spoiled, but I've always had a fascination with arcade games, and I love the history of arcade stuff, and I ended up becoming a big Neo Geo fan too. And so nowadays I do a stream on twitch.tv/LordBBH. Most of the streams I do are usually arcade related. I did a whole series called MAME Roulette, where I went through pretty much as many games as I could run in the MAME emulator, which was like 3,300 games that eventually concluded. And then I've been focusing on, I have like two main series of streams I do right now. I do one thing called 1CCBBH, where I try to finish games on one credit without continuing. I've done some of the Metal Slug games for that, so it works out pretty well for that, because I enjoy like trying to show off a little bit. I always enjoy arcade games more when you have the capability to like finish them on one credit, and so I've been doing that for the last year and a half, and we're up to like 450 games or so, and still finding more games to try to do. And the other stream I've been doing is called Neo Rank Masters, where I'm going through the entire Neo Geo library, kind of playing every game again, not necessarily going for 1CCs, but just like playing them, talking about the history of those games. And then like after each game is played, I ask the stream chat where to like rank them. Like we're putting them on a big spreadsheet and trying to figure out like what the best and the worst games in the Neo Geo are. We haven't gotten to the Metal Slug games yet. Like we're still,
I might be able to help you out with this. Actually, I think I can help out with this.
Oh, hell yeah.
The best one is KOF 98 and the worst one is Magician Lord. You're welcome. You don't.
That's a spicy take. That's a spicy take. But no, we haven't I'm going chronologically through it, and like we just finished all the games in 1993. I think the next, at the time of recording this, like the next one we're going to do is like in games in 94. But so Metal Slug's a couple of years off, but it's definitely going to, the first one's definitely going to be up there. I think some of the games are going to be up there. I have my own takes on where the Slug games rank, but like I said, it's a collaborative effort. I try to get like stream chat involved, and I don't know, it's a fun time. So twitch.tv/LordBBH. Sorry, that was a long plug.
It does sound really fun.
Yes, I was a little disappointed by the reaction to Sengoku. I'm personally a Sengoku fan, but I understand it's definitely an
ambitious game. I understand. It's an ambitious game. You have to memorize so much of it, and I just feel like that holds it back. Hmm. And Sengoku 2, like, it plays way better. Maybe it doesn't have the same, like, theme-wise, I definitely understand, like, if you enjoy Sengoku 1's theme more. But, you know, there's going to be disagreements with this whole ranking thing, but it's unavoidable.
Yes. So, the topic for today is Metal Slug, and probably the first and most important question is, can you remember where you first saw a Metal Slug?
Oh, I can.
Okay.
I played the very first Metal Slug when it was relatively new. I do remember the local arcade where I lived. They got it around, I want to say it was in the summer, so it had to be either like June or July. So I did start with the first game, and obviously, like, the first time I played it, I was really bad at it. I used a lot of continues trying to get through it, but, like, over that summer, like, I just kind of went back to the, I mean, I was just kind of going to the arcade, like, maybe a couple times a week. It was summer, and I had my driver's license, so I could actually drive there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm that old that I was able to drive in 1996. But I just kind of kept playing it and kept learning things about it, tried to, like, make it a, like, even back then, I was making it a challenge to myself to try to finish games on one credit. And eventually, I was able to do it, like, before the summer was over.
Wow.
And I had all 10 high scores on the cabinet, and nobody had ever beaten those. So, yeah.
Stu?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I probably did play the original Metal Slug somewhere, but the one that is most vivid in my memory is the old Laser Quest in Cambridge on the old Bradwell's Court. That's going to be nothing to anyone, but I'm saying it anyway.
It's all right.
Down in the basement in the Bradwell's Court, which has now been bulldozed over, none of it's there anymore, there was a Laser Quest, and in the lobby of the Laser Quest, you have Laser Quest, right?
Not by name. I don't know the name.
You shoot fake lasers at people. Laser tag. It's called laser tag.
Oh, yeah, laser tag. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's called, yeah, the brand is Laser Quest here. It's the same exact thing, though. And in the lobby, there were some arcade cabinets, and one of them was one of those white, what I now know, well, they were multi-boards, basically, or multiple games loaded on one board. I don't know how exactly it works, but they were all Neo Geo games. And I remember that because I've got the track mode for Robo Army burned into my mind. Of all games. But one of them is Metal Slug 2, and the reason I remember it so vividly is in the attract mode. Now, I'm going to dance around this a bit because I don't want to be on EC, but the villains that you shoot, they are quite, in the attract mode, are quite stereotypical. They are stereotypical of the sort of Tintin breed of, like, bad foreigner sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you shoot them in the attract mode, when they were shot, they would kneel and keel over, spewing viscous white fluid out of their mouths and a stream of unknown disgustingness. And I just remember thinking, like, what the hell is that supposed to be? And then when you put a coin in, that viscous white fluid turns into blood, and you're like, oh, it's blood. As a kid, you know, I it was just like, oh, why are they spewing milk out of their wounds? This is bizarre. But now I know what it was. So that's what stuck with me, really. As for actually playing it, God knows, I have absolutely no idea. I used to volunteer at this youth club for, like, for kids when I was a little bit older, and they had a Metal Slug cabinet in there on which I used to play instead of letting the kids play it. So, yeah, that's the first one I played most vividly, thus undermining the entire boring story I just told.
It's all right. You got to say the phrase, you know, viscous white fluid on Retronauts, so that's
well, it's all worth it. Yeah. I mean, for not as if that's going to be the last time, you know?
I just love hearing recollections of, like, vivid arcade memories, because that's one of the things that always, like, I find so fascinating about arcade games, is that you remember, like, where you were when you played them. And, like, mm-hmm. what the experience was. And that's why,
Yeah, unfortunately, my most vivid Metal Slug arcade memory is one of the later ones. So I do not know where I first encountered Metal Slug. I wish I could remember this, but I know that me personally, the first game that I put a lot of time into because I bought the cartridge was X. So that's kind of like my first Metal Slug, quote unquote, even though that's not the first Metal Slug. But we'll get into that later. It's fine. We can talk about that later. So overall, let's paint a big picture overall. What is Metal Slug? Well, it's 2D action. You're running along. Very straightforward game. You got a shoot button, you got a jump button, and you got a grenade button. Neo Geo had four buttons. You know what? D button doesn't do anything. It's okay. Three buttons covers everything. So it's kind of like, you know, I guess to people who maybe didn't play it themselves, I guess you can compare it to Contra, because it's similar to Contra.
More or less.
It's similar and yet plays completely differently in every way, almost, in terms of feel. But I do agree it is similar. It's almost, there's a bit Mega Man to it as well, I think. But
Well, I guess one of the key factors is your character can only take one hit. You know, if they get by anything, then that's it, they're out. Mm-hmm. Although, in one thing that I really appreciate is, in most cases, you have to be attacked by something. You know, like if you just touch if your soldier touches another soldier, you don't explode. But
I appreciate that so much. Yeah.
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 Right.
You bounce off vehicles as well if you land on top of them, I think.
You can walk on some things. Some things are, things are deadly if you touch them, but a lot of stuff.
Enemy tanks can like run you over if they're actually like moving forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you die, it's your own fault. Like it's not some BS contact damage. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be an enemy like pulling out a knife and stabbing you. Like, yeah, that would kill me. Okay, I accept that. Sure.
And speaking of knives, there's a fun feature where if you are close to the enemy, you also have a knife or some other melee weapon that you can wield. And I didn't even know this, but in doing quick research, apparently if you kill enemies with the melee weapon, you get much more points. So that's like a secret high score technique. If you just
usually 500 points, and then shooting them is usually 100 points. So.
That's a big difference.
There is like one weird exception, but we can probably talk about that later.
Right. And there are special weapons, you know, just like in Contra, the special weapons. However, any special weapon you pick up has limited amount of ammunition. So it's not just a matter of, oh, get the spread gun and now the game is over. It's like, no. Whatever you pick up, you get to use that until it's gone. You can get more bullets, of course. You can switch them out. Later games actually let you trade, hold stocks of different weapons. But that was much, much later. The basic game is... Here's your gun. If you get a special weapon, great. Enjoy it while it lasts. Likewise, grenades, very finite amount of grenades. But of course, if you die, you get more. So if you're credit feeding, like I often did, you know, most of my credits were come in, mash grenade button, and then I die. And, okay, mash grenade some more.
It is a way to brute force it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're fighting these bosses, and I would say one of the things that's famous about the series is that these boss characters are often, you know, these boss machines are often, you know, gigantic. You throw a grenade, it's going to hit something. So, you know, better than nothing.
Most of them anyway.
And, so of course, Metal Slug, what the hell is the name Metal Slug? So apparently it just comes, it was direct translation from the Japanese. Someone decided they called it Tetsu no Namakuji, which is just like literally a metal slug. And the quote is, despite being a tank, it moves across the ground like a creature, a bit like a slug. And we added metal as a blunt way of saying it's hard as iron. So that's what they came up with. And, that's the name stuck. Because, you're a little guy running along, but yes, you get to pick up these vehicles. And in the first game, there is only the eponymous Metal Slug. But later games would add camels and donkeys and hoppers and planes and all kinds of things. Apparently, they said they had a list of things they wrote down. They had some ideas didn't make the cut. Apparently, there was a metal desk at one point. There was a dino slug that was like a giant thing that covered almost the entire screen.
Oh, so, man.
These guys, you know, they never had no shortage of ideas over at NASCA. But the other thing to look out for is POWs. As you're playing, I don't know how much we're going to get into the lore of Metal Slug, but basically this is, I don't know. Does anyone actually know the lore of Metal Slug? Maybe you can just drop a bit.
it's usually just been about them, like the first one, you're just fighting General Morden, right? But yeah, I don't not really too up on the lore. Yeah,
is there like complex lore to the games? I mean, I know there are things that are recurring, like there's special POWs, like you can meet one that can shoot a Hadouken, I forget the name, Yokotaro or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's also Rumia Kawa, I think is her name, who is like your... Yeah. I don't know what her role is, but she's always there, and you can get her objects out of her backpack by shooting it.
Right.
I'm sure this is all lore stuff, but I don't know who they are exactly, and I should do. And the fact all the POWs are named is interesting. I don't know if they recur too, or if there's a story behind them.
I think it's just a matter of basically the POWs are there to like they're basically an item box, except they're a person, so you have to free them usually, and once you touch them, they just give you something, and sometimes it's just points. But often it's more weapons, more ammo, or in the case of Hyakutaro, he hangs out with you and basically, yeah, he throws like Hadouken, but like they're like, they chase enemies, like they seek a different attack. Yeah. So he's very useful.
There are special prisoners, like there's a guy in Metal Slug 3 who looks like a sort of a CEO type guy who's got bodyguards that give you two items from like attaché cases when you rescue him. And there's just lots of weird stuff like that that I wonder if it means more. That I don't know, or if it's just for flavor. Because a lot of these games are very much just kind of, we thought this would be cool as detail.
But I mean, I do not know the specifics, I apologize, but basically, yeah, there has been a world war, and the idea is like, yeah, you're part of a rebel army fighting against General Morden and the sort of force that is, I think, if not conquered the world, it certainly has been around the world fighting all these armies. So yeah, when you look at the list of POWs who all have names, you can see it's an international, you know, there's Japanese names, there's European names, there's, you know, I think you occasionally see some, like, you know, African names. Like, even though the POW always looks like just one guy with his big bushy beard, the list of names is always, you know, gives a sense that this is a global conflict.
Yeah, all the names of all the other POWs are just pulled randomly. Like, they just have a list of, like, ranks and names, and they just pull those randomly. The only ones that are, like, consistent are, of course, Hyakutaro and Rumia Kawa.
Right.
Yeah, so it's different every game.
One of the interviews has suggested that they just, you know, they tried to challenge themselves to come up with as many names as possible, and apparently at one point they tried to make 10,000 names and they couldn't do it. They were very disappointed themselves. Just
taking full advantage of the Max 330 Mega on the Neo Geo. Just have a giant list of names.
It might be worth mentioning that you only rescue POWs if you manage to clear the stage without dying. Denying drops that you lose them, essentially. I'm not sure exactly sure how it works, but you don't get credit for rescuing them unless you beat the boss with them still banked, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which is the most heartbreaking thing. When you have loads of POWs and then you die in a silly mistake, it sucks.
Yeah, and usually that's like the key or one of the keys to high scores, because if you pick up at least 10 of them, like you get a 100,000 point bonus. Like, the later games, like, kind of changed the scoring a bit and made it, like, more important to, like, keep your vehicle when you kill the boss. And they just kind of, like, some vehicles give you, like, 300,000 or whatever. And they just kind of kept the 100,000 great bonus. And, like, to, like, get the 100,000 point great bonus in, like, the first game, you have to – some stages you actually have to find hidden prisoners in certain spots. Like, there's not going to be enough if you just run through the level normally. Like, you got to find the little secrets. And if you can find those, like, you'll have enough for the big bonus, and that's always satisfying if you can get the great bonus. It didn't say you're great in the first game, but they added that later.
I don't know if they, I mean, we'll get to it obviously, but the secrets are a big thing about these games for me. Because I don't think that the first game really had them, or if it did, there weren't many. It's from 2 and X onwards they start to add the little. Really, or at least, I mean, I might be completely wrong about this. They might be in the game, first game, and I've just never bothered looking for them. But 2 and X have the little contact points you can shoot that drop secrets and things, is my understanding.
No, the first game definitely has, like, hidden spots where if you shoot them, like, extra hostages will drop. Like on the first stage, like, if you go through the first stage in Metal Slug 1 without, like, shooting anything else, you're only going to have 6 hostages at the end. But there's 2 waterfalls, like, at the very end, like, when the screen goes up a little bit, like, right before the boss, there's, like, 2 giant waterfalls. And if you start shooting up at the waterfalls, 2 drops from each of those, and those give you the 4 you need for the 10 hostage bonus. So, yeah, they've kept the secret thing going through the entire series.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are these, there's sort of a feature of the game where, yeah, you can just shoot at just random spots and there's nothing to indicate that there is a secret there. It's just like, you know, it's a wall, but if you shoot the wall enough times, you know, maybe a monkey will come out of it. It's all this wild, you know.
If you see your bullets like stopping when they hit something instead of going off the screen, it might be like, there might be something there. I'm going to keep shooting.
Exactly. But if you don't shoot there, and sometimes it's like, you know, you just stand somewhere and you shoot straight up at nothing, but it's like, oh, you shoot in this one particular spot and like, poop comes out, but the poop is worth points. Like it doesn't make any sense, but yeah, that's part of the charm. It's just full of stuff.
I think the iconic one, and again, if I get this wrong, please shoot me. At the beginning of X, you can sort of go left and shoot up, and that's like a free one, basically. Or is it shoot the ground? God, it's been a while since I played X.
I think it's shoot up. God, yeah.
I've come on this podcast and I'm just spreading complete lies. It's embarrassing.
It's all right. We're all here together. We're all here lying together, Stu.
We're not judging you.
I watched a video before I came on to refresh my memory of like the secrets of Metal Slug X, and it turns out I don't know like a third of them. There's just like a 33% more secrets I never found in this game that I absolutely rinsed, and it's shocking to me just how much stuff they've packed in there.
What trips me up is like they changed like some secrets from 2 to X, and I forget like which game has what, and it gets me all confused.
Well, no slug exists in a vacuum. So we should probably quickly mention some. This is going to be hard because we know the names of some of the people behind Metal Slug, but we also don't know the names of most of the people behind Metal Slug, because even though it came out in 1986, it was still the sort of late era of, oh, everyone here is just using nicknames in the credits. Like the credits have almost, there's almost no real names in any of these credits for the early games.
Yep.
So we just don't know. We do know about Kazuma Kujo because he was, you know, he was already a known factor from IREM, and he was planner on the original Metal Slug. He was never officially part of the team, but he was part of that first game, and then he went back to IREM, and then he's the Granzella, and now these days he's mostly involved in, like, bringing back R-Type. But he's a guy who's been around. He does a lot of interviews. You see his name a lot, Kazuma Kujo.
Mm-hmm.
We got Takashi Hiyamuta. So if you see the guy credited as sound as Haya or Hiya, that's him. It's Hiyamuta. Very clever pseudonym there. And he did all the sound and music for the original trilogy. Well, the trilogy of four games.
Yeah.
And after that, you have Toshikazu Tanaka, who picks up sound duties. And he does sort of the latter games, including starting with four and doing some of the spinoffs. But most importantly, there is the man named Miher, or Miha in Japanese. We don't know who he is, but we know he was a planner in all the original games. Wikipedia says that after Metal Slug 3, he stopped working in video games. So whoever he is, he might just be living the Salaryman life out there now, or maybe he's retired. I don't know. Probably he. We're assuming a he. Based on the interviews, it sounds like a guy. But we don't know who Miher is. He's out there. God bless you, Miher.
Their work was done on this planet.
Yes. But we don't know more than that. We do know that most of these folks came from IREM. They were working at IREM. And kids, IREM used to make a lot of video games. Off the top of my head, R-Type.
R-Type's a big one.
It was more than R-Type. BBH, you probably know more IREM games off the top of your head.
Yeah, they made, they made Gunforce in the Hunt. Like some of these guys, they worked on some of the games that like defined like the graphic style. Undercover Cops, that's a beat 'em up. Ninja Baseball Batman.
Oh yeah,
kind of a fan favorite. Like they made some beat 'em ups. Like they made a Hook themed beat 'em up off the movie, which was
I missed
a
that
lot
one.
Of people did. A lot of people didn't even know existed. Like it didn't really get much distribution. But yeah, they also made some older stuff. Like they made the original Kung Fu Master, which became Kung Fu on the NES.
Yes.
That was a big one. They made Moon Patrol, which was like licensed to Williams in the United States.
Thank you. I just wrote about Moon Patrol. I think I would have remembered that one. But yes, Moon Patrol. That just turned 40.
Oh my God! Yeah, it has been 40 years, hasn't it?
Did they make Gansand, Hammer and Harry?
They did make Hammer and Harry. Yes.
Yeah. And did they also make Spelunker? I think Spelunker, or at least publish it or something.
Yeah, they licensed it from Rotorbund and made arcade Spelunker and Spelunker 2. They were a bit different from like the original versions, the console versions, but like it kind of has like similar gameplay.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, they did release arcade versions of that. Kid Nicky was another one.
Oh, that's IRM 2. All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So yeah, they've been around. The company's been around. They made a lot of games, but based on the quotes I've seen, I guess they didn't make enough games because you had this members of IRM staff who wanted to make more games and wanted to do more stuff, and so they splintered off and became a group called Nazca Corporation, and the Nazca team is responsible for the original Metal Slug. Although I'm not sure the timeline exactly, but it sounds like after Metal Slug was released. And before Metal Slug 2, Nazca just sort of got absorbed into SNK. That's my understanding of the situation.
Nazca also made Neo Turf Masters, which is a big fan favorite on the internet. So
yes,
so I guess like they put out Neo Turf Masters.
On the green.
And then Metal Slug and SNK is like, hey, these guys are good. we gotta get us some of that.
Quite a lot of this podcast is going to be me yelling sound effects from these games, and I apologize for that.
It's all right. It's worth it. Yeah, if you play Neo Turf Masters, the music alone, it sounds like Metal Slug. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely has that same sound to it.
You can tell it was the same guy.
Sadly, we never got a Fio crossover in the golf game. Unfortunately,
that's a huge shame.
But yeah. So speaking of which, so before Metal Slug exists, there are a couple of IRM games that have some similar names in the credits, and you can see if you go back and watch them today, you can see there's bits and pieces of Metal Slug in them, and I think it starts with Gun Force, and you know I wrote in the notes here Gun Force, we have Contra at home energy. It's just like it's a shooter, but it's like it's kind of like generic sci-fi looking, and like your guy is like. He can shoot in eight different directions and ride some vehicles, but just it doesn't really. I don't know.
It does. It feels a little funky. Yeah. I've played it a bit. Yeah. It's it's all right for what it is. I haven't played the Super Nintendo version, which I hear is an awful port. But I don't know the arcade version. Like, yeah, you might like throw a few tokens into it and be like, yeah, this is all right. Mm-hmm. Like, you won't come away like. Hating it, but it's not like the most memorable game.
I think much more memorable would be 93 Into the Hunt, In the Hunt, which is entirely, it's a submarine scrolling shooter. And I think that's the kind of game where, like, when you look at that game, you're like, oh, you know, because it has some really fantastic animation. And like every shot you fire is like a torpedo out of your, you know, out of your submarine. All the enemies, you know, some of the enemies are gigantic. There's all these big boss. I know the end boss is like this long sequence of like, it's like a chase sequence. Like in the Hunt is a pretty spectacular looking game. And, that also, I remember got a PlayStation port. So that got around. I think a lot of people never, know In the Hunt.
Yeah. I never saw like an actual cabinet of it back in the day. Like, I don't think, like, because I live in the United States, I don't think, like, a lot of IRM games around, like, the early 90s, other than, like, after Gun Force, it felt like a lot of the IRM games that were put out didn't really, like, get much distribution outside Japan. Like, I remember hearing that, like, Ninja Baseball Batman only sold, like, 40 kits in the entire United States. Oh. So there were not very many arcades you could actually find one in.
Not 40K, 40 kits.
40 upgrade kits, yeah.
Yes.
So you could only find it in one of like 40 different arcades across the entire country. That's what I heard. I could be misremembering, but it did feel like there was, I don't know, like IRM games weren't getting the same level of distribution as other stuff. It's also like a lot of these games being released after Street Fighter 2 kind of took over and arcades were focusing on fighting games and stuff like that. So
yes, definitely by this point, definitely the pendulum was swinging from beat 'em ups and shoot 'em ups to the fighting game sort of boom. Mm-hmm. But people still made these, you know, people still make them today. So yeah, they still exist in the 90s. Indeed, Gun Force got a sequel, Gun Force 2, although in some regions it's called Geostorm.
And also saw this one.
Yeah. But if you look it up today and you look up the ROM or you watch a video, you can hear it sounds like Metal Slug. There's lots of enemy screams and explosions, But the characters, just the characters aren't there yet. Like there's not as much personality. But definitely, I remember, you know, if you play through it, you can see some exciting boss battles. So like, it definitely looks and sounds better than Gunforce 1, but it's just, you know, it's not there yet.
It's got big slug energy. Like I've streamed it before, and I've had people come into chat and say like, "What is this? A Metal Slug ripoff?" And it's like, no, these are the same guys. This is before Metal Slug.
Yes. It's got the intricacy of the visuals down pat. Like it's the thing that I remember most from this game is I played this on MAME, I think, back in the day, and the first level, I think you're on the back of a train or something, and every single individual cut like floorboard of that or slat of that train can be destroyed, and it just slows the game down to an absolute crawl instantly as soon as you start firing. Because everything is destructible, there's no need to put this much detail into it, but they did anyway, and I respect that.
And then you've got the first boss who's in this he's like it's this one guy in a cockpit like controlling everything, shooting missiles at you, shooting Gatling gun bullets at you, and when you do enough damage, like the cockpit becomes exposed, and the guy in the cockpit just grabs a giant missile and tosses it at you. So like they were putting like a lot of detail into things, like even back then.
So within a year after that, they start working on Metal Slug. There's some video online. If you look at it, there's location testing of the original like prototype Metal Slug in late 1995, although it looked very different than what actually came out in 96. But yeah, the original Metal Slug, 96. So the very first Metal Slug, what do you get? Well, you get these two characters. You don't get to pick them. There's two characters. You got Marco, you got Tarma. One of them's player one, player two. I forget which one's which, but you get four special weapons: heavy machine gun, rocket launcher, flamethrower, shotgun. BBH, you were on record as saying flamethrowers are either the best weapon or the worst weapon. What's your opinion of Metal Slug flamethrower?
Metal Slug 1 flamethrower, bad. Like they actually changed it in part 2. Like the flamethrower in part 1 is just this little tiny shot that goes forward. Like it's okay for taking out. Like I think the first one they give you is in stage 2 when the soldiers are like parachuting in. And like it's okay for that, but for like anything that's like a tank or anything that actually has hit points, yeah, it's not good and you don't want to pick it up. Flame shot ended up changing a lot in part 2, but part 1, yeah, bad. Thank you for keeping the gag going. I didn't even ask you to do that.
It's important. I've watched a few streams. I know what happens.
Thank you.
I just love that shotgun. I can't get enough of that shotgun. You pull the trigger and enemies are just gone. They disappear. They vanish. You switch them off. It's absolutely magical. Magical.
It kind of causes a big screen flash too, which people aren't really a fan of nowadays, but you know.
It's worth it to watch them disappear.
That is a big feature, though. Yeah, because in shooting, you know, all these enemies come out of there. And as you mentioned, the fluid before, Stu, like, yeah, they don't just you don't just shoot them and they don't just blip out. They fall down. They fall over. If you use a shotgun, they sort of explode into little
vaporized.
Like, yeah.
It's so good.
The flamethrower lights them on fire and they sort of stumble around a little bit. Everything in this game, you know, you can... You throw grenades at things, they blow up. I think the first game has sandbags, but I always think of like the pile of sandbags where you shoot them and you can see each bag in the pile sort of like shakes a little bit, and then you shoot them enough and they'll break. You know, soldiers have shields, you can shoot the shield off of them, or if you're getting close, you can basically knock it away with your melee weapon. It's just every attack in the game is very carefully thought about. The enemies have all these little patterns they run through. They parachute in from the sky, they run along, they might crawl up like... If you're walking along a sort of like cliff or whatever, they might crawl up along the side of the cliff and try to jump out at you. Like everything, you have to always pay attention to every part of the game because everyone's out there to kill you, but you can see them coming. You can always see them coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Other than like there's enemies in the final stage that just kind of like right before the final boss, that just kind of drop down from the sky and do like an immediate knife stab. Those are kind of cheap, but if you actually might have the Metal Slug at that point, at which point they'll just like fly right past you. But for the most part, you can see enemies coming.
This first one, I mean, for that reason, I mean, I think this is my favorite one of the lot. I think they got it right. I think they absolutely nailed it the first time, because it's just on one hand, it is feasible to play Unfinished on one credit. Not that, I mean, anyone, you know, they're all feasible. They're all within human, like, parameters. But for someone who's not super hardcore arcade or gaming in general, this one's probably my favorite, simply because I love how breezy it is. I can't one credit clear this game, but when I think about it, I do believe that I could do if I applied myself. I think it's got a nice spectacle to it, while also balancing it with gameplay that doesn't feel like sluggish, and there's no pun intended. you know, kind of leaden, sort of like, well, we'll get to it, but a problem I have with the later games is they're too much. You know, they're too much. What if Smell the Slug, but too much kind of thing. It's like, we'll get the, but, well, it's like eating cake. It's like, cake is delicious, but then you eat too much cake and you just start to feel sick and you wish that you weren't eating cake anymore. even though the cake is delicious, it's killing you. And that's what the later Metal Slugs are. but no, I love this game. Quick, breezy, great spectacle, like this, the part, and I want to say stage 3, where the building collapses around you.
Oh, yeah.
It's still one of the coolest things I've ever seen in an arcade game. And I just think it's awesome. I just think it's a really great game. I think it ramps up the intensity and drama really well without getting really just stupid. Not that there's anything wrong with stupid, of course, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Oh, I 100% agree. Like, I've thought about this a lot, and it's still, like, the first one is still, like, by far my favorite, because for a lot of the reasons that you said, like, it's just, it works the best as an arcade game, because it's a very, it doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, it's a very tight experience. I could see, like, people preferring, like, the, I guess the variety in the enemies on the later games, because in the first game, like, it's mostly just, you know, the enemy soldiers and tanks and planes and all that. But I think, like, it really works in this game that you have this consistent theming going on, but at the same time, it doesn't feel repetitive. It doesn't feel boring because the levels are still very distinct, and, like, there is enough variety, like, in, like, how the game, like, presents the enemies. Like, there's so many different types of vehicles and different types of enemy formations, and so you really get that feeling of you against, like, an entire army. And so I think it works great in that regard. And yeah, it definitely has a good difficulty curve for, like, one credit purposes. Like, the game obviously it becomes a lot easier when you figure out, like, where, like, some of the secret locations are for, like, picking up POWs, because sometimes they're going to have extra grenades you can pick up. And when you can stockpile grenades, like, some bosses, you can just, like, deplete them out of existence by just, you know, staying in the slug. And because when you're in a slug, if you hold down and start mashing the C button, you throw grenades out faster, because when you're on foot, you can only throw them, like, one at a time. You can only have two on screen at once, and you can't really throw them out as quickly. But when you're in the slug, like, you can just chuck them out nonstop. And, like, you can, if you just want to go for speed runs like that, yeah, you can just kill bosses really fast once you know what you're doing. And, like, with some of the later games, it feels like the developers didn't like that people were doing that and started inflating the hit points on a lot of bosses, but we'll talk about those later. I think we're going to have, like, the same feelings on one particular game, Stuart.
This excites me because I honestly thought that was going to be my spiciest take ever.
I might be in agreement with you on it. We'll see.
We keep mentioning the slug. We should really emphasize. So, even though the metal slug, the tank, is just a vehicle you pick up, it really is a character unto itself. Indeed, at one point, according to Kazuma Kujo, he said, originally the combat vehicle was the only character you controlled. However, when we did location tests, we did not get a good response from customers playing. So we changed the game so the soldiers were the central characters you controlled. So, but I think you can still see that when you play the game and you jump into a Metal Slug, it's not just a tank, you know, because let's face SNK in particular, if you go back before the Neo Geo, they had a lot of tank games, you know? You had a game just called Tank. They had a game called Tank, you know?
You can't get more tank than that, can you?
Yeah. Right. But in like Ikari Warriors, it was, one of the keys to Ikari Warriors is you get the tank. It makes a big difference. But yep. The Metal Slug itself, it's like it, every tread, like its tread is like almost like a bunch of like flopping little feet. It looks like it, you know, it can jump. It can, like the tank can duck. It's this really impressive little, you know, just a really impressive looking thing to behold. You can,
it's sort of, I mean, I might be really off base with this, but it really kind of looks like the tanks from, I might mispronounce this, Masamune Shirow's Dominion.
Yeah, people have made that comparison before.
Dominion Tank Police. It looks like it's very, it must have been inspired at least to some degree. Or if not, it's just a coincidence.
Pretty sure it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I've just realized when you said, when you mentioned Ikari Warriors, there's now a direct connection from Ikari Warriors to Metal Slug, isn't there? Because they brought in Ralph and Clark in the later games, who are the Ikari Warriors.
They weren't going to make a new Ikari Warriors game, and I mean, they were still putting Ralph and Clark in King of Fighters, but they weren't going to, I guess, like, they just weren't going to make a new Ikari Warriors game. So it's like, all right, screw it. We'll just put them in Metal Slug.
Much later, yes.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
But a feature that I always got screwed up is that you can get in the tank and you can also get out of the tank. If the tank takes enough damage, you have to get out of the tank because it's going to explode. But you can also set the tank to self-destruct, which I've done a lot when I didn't want it to self-destruct. But.
Yeah, same. Me too, yeah.
Yeah, they had to, for some reason, they decided we're going to make it A and B together when you're probably going to be spending a lot of time jumping and firing. And so sometimes your fingers are going to slip and hit both of them together. They actually changed this in Metal Slug 5. Like, they finally decided, hey, we've got this D button on the Neo Geo we're not doing yes. anything with. What if we just assign the self-destruct to the button we haven't been using through the entire friggin' series? God.
You know, speaking of not using, though, I do remember that when I had Metal Slug X on cartridge and I got into the dip switches, I remember you could set it so that pushing the D button would just destroy everything on screen. So that was one fun way whenever I decided to cheat my way through the last game, I would just play through it. You know, I'd run and I'd jump and I'd shoot. And then if I was out of grenades, like, oh, I'll just push the D button. And then the boss dies.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
It's all right. When I'm at home, there's no quarters involved. It's fine.
You cheated. You didn't just cheat the game. You cheated yourself.
But there are some characters who appear in Metal Slug 1 who would become recurring characters. One of them is a guy, and so I guess, BBH, you know this guy's name, huh? Alan O'Neill?
Alan O'Neill, yeah. As everybody calls him, the see you in hell guy. Yep.
Come on, boy.
Right.
That too.
He shows up, and he's this big, muscular guy. He's got a big gun. He's got, like, the sort of, I forget the word for it, the string of bullets on his chest.
Bandolier.
And he jumps around the stage, and you have to... It's basically a duel. It's like a one-on-one duel where he's very mobile and you're mobile and it's, you know, one of you wins. Mm-hmm. And as you shoot him, he gets angrier and angrier and turns redder and redder. And he comes back in later games. And what's kind of funny is considering how a lot of the bosses you fight in Metal Slug are these very elaborate machines that honestly, in going through and watching videos lately, it made me think of Rube Goldberg devices. Like, you can see these giant machines and you can often see, like, parts in the machines that are working together, you know, like you'll see like gears mm-hmm. turning and you'll see guys in cockpits and you'll see hatches that open up and cannons come out and the cannon goes back in. Like, you can tell they've spent a lot of time imagining what this machine might possibly look like or who made this machine. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels...
The level of detail is just so ridiculous.
Yeah. And this goes in hand with the world building in general. Like, as you go through these stages and, you know, Stu, you mentioned some anime before. I feel like a lot of these stages are designed after sort of like Miyazaki style anime, because like all the environments are sort of like they're vaguely European, you know. You'll see like signs in the background for like bakeries and like coffee shops, and it's not always in English. So it's like I get the sense of like someone fighting their way across Europe, you know.
Mm. Yeah,
lots of brick and cobblestone streets, but then you have this, you know, then you have like a giant airplane comes out of nowhere with like, you know, jets that fire down. So like it's a sort of this weird sort of slightly futuristic, but also like an old world feel Does this make any sense to anybody?
Yeah.
No. Well, yeah. It's not grounded in any specific war,
right?
So to speak. Like, obviously, it's not based on a real war, but there are elements taken from iconography. I guess is the word, from sort of the various wars that have existed in human history. Like, there's quite a lot of Vietnam sort of stuff, exaggerated Vietnam stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Alan O'Neill feels almost like a disgusting sort of caricature, you know?
Right.
Marco himself is like a kind of, I don't know, he almost seems like a kind of a, I don't know what you'd call him. Tama always gives me vibes of like some kind of weird G.I. Joe-ish kind of guy with the shades and such, you know? He just feels kind of unreal and like a parody of, you know, like military bravado. I don't know, maybe I'm off base with this. But it all just feels like, basically parodying military sort of like visuals and things. And I mean, I sort of come back to, I think it's the first game that has this ending where it pans back across the carnage that you've brought across the entire world.
That's the first game, yeah.
Of just, yeah, just corpses all over the place. And it's genuinely quite upsetting, in my opinion, just because it's the stark contrast of just like, dead twitching bodies everywhere instead of things constantly trying to kill you. And then you suddenly are almost just like, oh yeah, the sort of human cost kind of thing, you know? I mean, I know it's just played for laughs. I know it's played up as a joke, but I can't help but think that ending is quite affecting
in that respect, yeah.
Because it's the only one in the series that really goes for that. I mean, in X, they more sort of humanize the enemy soldiers. They show the enemy soldiers in like kind of downtime, right? Am I imagining that? I don't remember exactly. It's been a while, but I think one is the one with the paper airplane, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really striking ending, I think, to the game.
Well, it should be pointed out that there's actually like two different endings on Metal Slug 1. Like, if you play it single player, yeah, you get the ending where everybody's dead. But if you clear it with two players, like, it shows all the soldiers like dancing and going through weird animation frames and stuff like that. It's a completely different ending. It's still the paper plane, like going through the stages, but everybody's alive, just having a dance party or something.
That's
I don't know why they have like a separate two player ending, but yeah.
Yeah, that's weird because I've definitely cleared it with two before. I don't remember that, so maybe I'm just focusing on the I'm about to do that and see that again.
Yeah.
Well, the airplane sequence is definitely more memorable, I think, because it is sort of shocking when you look at. You know, as you're playing the game, all you're thinking about is, okay, I've got to get past this. I've got to get past this. Oh, I've got to jump here. But then if you were to look back, it's like, oh, I really did. I wiped out an entire army by myself. I did that.
I mean, this is a ridiculous comparison, so I apologize. But it kind of reminds me of when you clear a level in Hotline Miami and you have to walk back to the door through all this mountain of blood and corpses everywhere.
I can see that. But for all the over the topness of Metal Slug, it kind of ends with it's just a showdown with you and the General Morden character, who would also be a recurring character. Like, he's in a helicopter shooting at you, and that's kind of it. Like, I mean, I think other soldiers appear, but you know, considering where this series would go, it's kind of funny when you look back at the first game and the last boss is just you versus a guy in a helicopter. Like, there's not a lot to it.
It is kind of weird in retrospect that like that final boss battle like doesn't feel like this big dramatic battle compared to what would happen in later games, because you see Morden in stage two, like he's on this helicopter or something, the flying boss in stage two, and like he actually like gets out at one point and starts shooting with his bazooka at you. And then when you destroy the boss, like he falls out of it, and then a plane catches him and takes him away. So you've seen him at this point, but like it's kind of a similar battle to stage two. And like, yeah, it does feel a little weird that that's the final battle, but you know, you do see him like actually fall out at the end and hit the ground. You can actually like run up to his corpse and start stabbing him too for and make blood come out for extra points if you're really fast on it too, which is kind of funny.
Well, that must be non-canon then, because, you know, he does come back, so he can't be dead.
Well, Alan O'Neill keeps coming back, too. Nobody ever stays dead for long.
He gets eaten and all the bones fly out of this whale's mouth, and he's fine. He's in the next game.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the final boss of Metal Slug 1, as much as it's not as spectacular as the later games, it does kind of fall and come in line with the sort of breeziness that I mentioned.
Right.
To have a boss that doesn't bring the game to a grinding halt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, this is the end. You've caught Morden and what's essentially his escape vehicle, and he's going to have this one final
He doesn't have, like, a second phase or anything, like, once you destroy the vehicle,
and
that's
it. And I am very grateful for that.
I know where this is going.
it's a cool fight, I think. It lacks spectacle, but only by comparison to games that weren't out yet.
Yeah.
Prime Day is coming. Check out the HyperX store on Amazon.com to find great Prime Day deals on July 12th and 13th. Stock up on the latest gaming gear from HyperX so you'll be ready for all the new launches and content drops this summer. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. Deals like this won't be around long.
The award-winning Go Nintendo podcast is the best place to get the latest news on the world of Nintendo. We cover the biggest stories, share impressions of the latest games, and answer your burning questions. There's also some general pop culture talk, game music trivia, a heaping helping of silliness, and did I mention our robot companion?
I'm the star of the show.
Catch new episodes of the Go Nintendo podcast every Saturday on the HyperX Podcast Network.
SequelCast 2 and Friends looks at movies and video games and franchises, one movie and game at a time. Hosted by Matt Bradley Shurgi, Thrasher, and Alex Miller, been going since 2009, and we're part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
Find inflation the old-fashioned way, by spending less money. Check out the HyperX store at Amazon.com to find great Prime Day deals on July 12th and 13th. Stock up on new gaming gear so you'll be equipped for the new launches and content drops. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. Deals like this won't stick around long.
Speaking of which, there was the very next game. In 1998, we got Metal Slug 2. And I think from the start, one of the most important changes is they've added there's now four characters, and you get to pick which one there is. And of course, I think everyone picks Fio. We all agree, Fio? Fio?
Yes? Hell yeah. Fio is my girl to the end of time.
My girlfriend says Aerie is better, but I don't know why we're still together. But yeah, Fio all day.
There's a new weapon. You got a laser. It's just it's a hot beam of death.
Yeah.
And I think really from the start, they go out of their way to make this game feel like is more of a, you know, as I mentioned before, the POWs always have like different names. So to imply that this is being fought all over the world. Well, when they made Metal Slug 2, they decided, okay, never mind the European aesthetic. We want all these stages to look like different places. So the very first, the very first stage is kind of this sort of generic Middle East. I think it's Arabia. Like there's lots of writing in the background, which I think is Arabian. I couldn't be sure. I'm sorry, I don't speak Arabic, but
I think it is. Yeah,
Stu, I think you mentioned, you know, you mentioned the enemies in Metal Slug 2. The first stage of the enemies are like sword wielding guys in turbans. So
yeah, it's not great, but it is great. I'm afraid. No, the racism isn't great. Everything else is fine. I guess. If there was one element of these games I would remove, it would be anything that approached that kind of, I don't know, it's not great.
And the first vehicle you get is, in fact, the camel. You get a camel with the Metal Slug gun on it. And, yeah, but then as you're running along, you fight, oh my god, I forgot the name. Is it the sort of dome structures you see in the Middle East? you come to a building with three of those sort of towers on them, and then those towers lift up and start shooting at you. Like, even the backgrounds themselves are now, like, have become bosses. Like, it's really from the get-go, you can tell they really wanted to top themselves, and they went huge.
They absolutely did. They really pushed the boat out even immediately for two. In fact, they pushed it out so much that they overtaxed the hardware big time, and the game runs like the same speed as an actual slug. So that's fun.
Yes, they did run into hardware limitations. And
yeah. I guess,
has there ever been a port of this game that removes the slowdown? Like, did this Arcade Archives version remove it? Or was
there is a hack of it in MAME. Like, somebody made a hack that, like, corrected the problem. I guess what happened, it's something like the game is, like, coded to run at, like, 30 frames per second. And, like, get there was something going on where, like, the game was, like, you know, supposed to have slowdown in dramatic spots. But, like, it's coding the slowdown wrong on the wrong frame. So it's, like, skipping two frames on every slowdown frame instead of one. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess what happened with it, I think this is what happened. I could be misremembering. This bug was, like, apparently not present on the development kits that they programmed the game on.
Right.
And so they didn't test it on actual hardware until they started, like, you know, producing the ROMs, producing the cartridges, and put it out there.
I guess.
It's like, oh, shit.
Because most of the ports would generally be of the revision of X, and I call it a revision. That's doing it a little bit of a disservice, I think. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I like Metal Slug 2, and I think fighting the opening stage in sunlight is more fun than in the dark. Mm. So I wish that I could play this game, but without the slowdown, and apparently I can. So thanks, piracy. Once again, you've saved the day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess we'll get into the whole two versus X thing, but I actually, like, agree that, like, some of the changes they ended up, like, later making in X, like, in Metal Slug 2, like, the first boss is that flying Harrier that's, like, you know, has the engines and stuff is shooting at you. They took that out and, like, moved that to stage 3, I think, in Metal Slug X. It's like a mid-boss.
It's a mid-boss in stage 3, yeah.
And so they brought back the stage 5 boss from Metal Slug 1 and just made it the boss in X. And it's like, okay.
Really
Why
weird.
Why did you do that?
Really weird.
Yeah. Like, there's definitely things I prefer about 2. I never really gelled with all the changes in X, even though it runs better. It's not eating inputs all the time during slowdowns, and that's great, but...
yeah.
But doing things like that, it's just like, yeah, okay.
I think, too, it was the last time the series felt even slightly breezy. Because X, while it's not that different, it did introduce a few more button-mashing parts, I think, or a few more things that just take longer or are more difficult.
I feel like 2 kind of becomes less breezy just by virtue of having so much slowdown, though, that it becomes a longer game.
That is true. That is true. I suppose I meant outside of technical problems. That is fair enough.
Right.
What you were saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes run through 2 just because I do like to... It's weird because I spent so much time with X. 2 is now kind of the weird one to me. It's kind of the novelty to me to be like, oh, it's that stage I like, except the boss is different and the background is different. Mm. Or the color scheme is different. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I'm going to play a game, it's probably more likely to be X than 2 at this point.
Right.
Just because of the speed of the damn thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've got more to say about X than I have about 2 for that reason,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah, I was definitely, like, anxious to play, like, when I heard they were making Metal Slug 2. And... you know, I was really excited to play it. And, you know, obviously the slowdown was like, oh, this is kind of bad, but I still, like, kind of stuck with it in the arcade and wanted to, like, get the 1cc on it, get the 1 credit clear on it. But it's a much longer game. Like, a run through of Metal Slug 1 usually takes about, like, half an hour, depending on, I mean, you can do it way faster than that if you're just spamming bombs on bosses and all that. But, like, a run on Metal Slug 2, like, usually took, like, 45, maybe 50 minutes for me. I was like kind of going out of my way for like some of the secrets. Like there's a thing on stage two where you have to get the genie lamp and all that.
Oh my God, the genie lamp. And then you've got the second genie lamp as well.
Yeah, that's...
Or is that only in X?
I think that's in both games.
Yeah, that genie lamp secret is just ridiculous.
That damn jump, yeah.
Well, you make that jump, then you get to this lamp, and you know your instinct... No, I mean, I know this now, but my instinct is to jump over and grab the lamp. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You wait for the genie to appear, then you wait for it to just the right exact second to jump over and catch the coins it turns into. Then you jump back, then you jump back to the first platform, and you shoot the air, which causes one of those dangerous pop things to drop onto you, so you have to move. Then you jump back and do it again, which causes another lamp to appear. And then you do the same thing. And if you want to get max score, you're going to do this every single goddamn run.
and if you screw it up, it's like, you okay, back to stage one now. So I'm not getting the hostage bonus now.
And I say that like I don't like it, even though stage two of Metal Slug, like X, is one of my favorite Metal Slug stages ever, period.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it does exhibit some of the things I have problems with in this as this series went on, like the mummies and such that take a lot of bullets to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, mowing through a load of soldiers that all die in one shot is usually a lot more fun for me than mowing through a load of mummies that take about 20 shots to down, especially if you're down to the pistol.
Yeah. Yeah, and two, obviously introduced the thing where you can get turned into a mummy if you get hit by certain shots that the mummies do, and that just, like, it makes you slower. Like, you just... Yeah,
the first 25 times it happens, it's kind of cool.
until you find the item that turns you back, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, cool, I'm a mummy. And then from every time onwards, you're like, oh, damn it, I'm a mummy. Why can't I just die?
Yeah, like, it's cool they put in the extra effort to, like, animate your character turning into a mummy and all that. Like, the artist had a great time animating that. But from a gameplay perspective, like, it just kind of... drags everything down.
Yeah,
like you don't really gain anything from becoming a mummy. You just throw bombs really slowly, you move and jump really slowly. Like, it just kind of, in a game that's already filled with so much slowdown,
it just
kind of drags things down. Like, it's, I guess it's cool they included it, but I could have done without it.
Yeah, the it's the tip of the iceberg compared to three.
Oh boy. Oh,
that's
boy.
Not the only transformation, though. We should also mention in Metal Slug 2, I think it's once you get to Hong Kong.
Oh yeah.
If you pick up too much food, you gain weight. And I'm sure this is, I have a hunch that someone on the art team just thought it would be really sexy to draw these characters as balloons. But
it was somebody's fetish.
The absolute best thing about that, and I will never stop finding this funny, even though, you know, fat phobia, etc., etc.
Yes.
The fact that melee gets replaced with a knife and fork is the funniest thing.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the point. The mummy stuff is, it's visually very interesting, but also it's kind of frustrating because it makes it harder to move around. When you become a fat version of yourself, you still move and run, but like your bullets are usually bigger.
Yeah.
It actually is advantageous. Even though I think, does the hitbox change or is it just...
Oh, it changes things. Like the flame shot becomes like a fiery orb of death.
Yeah, I guess it's easier to get hit, but also you're dealing more damage.
Does your character take up more space? Like, do you take damage more easily?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, I do think you have a bigger hitbox, yeah.
Okay. But also, if you die when you're fat, you just pop like a balloon, which is funny.
That too.
It's kind of gross. It's kind of gross in a way.
It is.
Oh, did they have the items in this game which would, like, called diet that make you thin again? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes,
hilarious.
It is.
Whoa, big.
But yeah, you've got the mummies, you've got the food. Yeah, it's a Hong Kong stage. Then you're in a subway tunnel. You actually have to fight like a subway train that comes at you or that can run you over.
I hate that stupid subway train.
Time
all you
to mash.
Do is you sit there mashing the button, and then the second time it happens again immediately afterwards. Or is that only an X? I don't know.
There's more than one train. There's probably more, at least one too many trains, I think.
Yeah.
If you there's two directly one after the other, and if you're only got the pistol, it's just pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pure pain. And it's boring. It's not fun. to do that. It's just a bad obstacle they shouldn't have put in the game.
Like,
it's kind of cool once.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I get it from the spectacle of like, oh, crap, I'm going to get run over by the subway car. Mm. Like, what do I do? Oh, I got to start.
I've shut down an entire. Yeah, and then that's awesome. But then again,
it's like, okay, here comes another one. It's the exact same thing. And then I guess like near the end of the tunnel, like they start like bringing in soldiers that drop in from the top to like get in the way or try to jump down and stab you to make it tougher, which at that point they want you to use bombs or something. Like this is what we did to make it new and exciting, I guess. But yeah, it just kind of it's another thing that kind of brings things to a halt.
Mm-hmm. And behind the subway is the tunnel full of mutants. I'm never quite sure what that means, but it definitely adds to, you know.
It's an X-Men reference. I guess
you've already fought soldiers and you've already fought mummies, and now you're fighting these creatures that crawl on the ceiling, and there's those cranks. You got like the cranks are sort of a weird mechanic. You've got
more mashing.
Yeah,
more standing around.
Did you know that the segments where you have to mash the crank, the male characters actually take less repetitions. The female characters have to do more because they're girls and they're weak.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Yeah. So if you're always picking Fio, yeah, you got to do more mashing on the crank to get the items or the slug.
Oh, don't say that.
It was innocent in contest.
First, I got I'm playing as Fio, transforming into a fat version, and then mashing on the crank, all in the same level. That's it. The worst joke ever on Retronauts. Thank you. I'm Stuart Jed. I'd like to take full credit for that joke. And if you'd like to hear more like it, please stay tuned.
But the big finale is aliens, the Mars people. It turns out that General Morden is working with aliens, and the aliens betray him. So then you end up fighting a bunch of aliens in little spacecraft. They got little UFOs. The aliens themselves, I must say, they take a lot of hits unless you use like a flamethrower or the shotgun. But I do love how they fall apart, you know, like the. Uh-huh. If you burn them up, they sort of sizzle into a little like calamari. And if you shoot them, they sort of like they fall down and their skin peels off and they like vomit. Like, it's really impressive.
Yeah.
The Mars people are iconic. I love them. I also, mm-hmm. I think this might be X only. I might be wrong. I also love the fact that it's foreshadowed like, when you destroy that wall in the first stage and you get one Mars person corpse and you're like, what was that?
Yeah, that was added almost.
If you if indeed you even notice it.
Yeah, you don't see the Mars people at all in part two until the final stage.
Oh, wow. Well, that's actually better because I thought that was in two as well. But in X, they also have a Mars person fly past on the first screen just in case you don't get it. Actually, I think there's a little tiny spaceship on the first screen going from right to left.
I think they do show up in stage. Wait, do they show up in stage four after the Hong Kong part where you're like going down the
X added more aliens. I don't know if part two is alien free until you get to the last stage, but certainly X added more aliens. Like definitely Stu, the one you mentioned in the very first stage, that's definitely an X edition. You see fly by in the background in the spin space.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was in two as well. There's a part where there's like almost a mid boss where you destroy. A guy on the back of a camel, and once you destroy him, the wall explodes behind him. And there's one Mars person corpse in this fire that you see for like a split second. And I thought that was in two as well. But if not, then I take it back. It wasn't clever, and I'm not praising them for it.
Yeah, it was only an X.
It's hard to remember which one's which.
Yeah, I get the stages mixed up in my head too. Like which one is two and which one is X.
We got the Metal Slug 2 finale, though. We haven't said that. There must be more to say about that, because something.
Definitely. One thing I do appreciate, even though I don't know the deep lore of Metal Slug, I do appreciate how this game goes to great efforts to tell stories. You know, you meet General Morden, and he's in sort of like this hybrid tank / UFO thing, and he's with the aliens, and he's laughing at you. But then, you know, this is like a little in-game cutscene, basically. Then the aliens shoot his soldiers, destroy his tank, kidnap him, and then you got to fight a UFO, which is hard.
Yeah.
But then you destroy the UFO and you think, oh, great, it crashes. But then a bigger ship appears, suctions that up, and then you have to fight this sort of basically a mothership that covers the entire top of the screen.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, let's not undersell this as a bigger ship. It's the biggest ship ever in any video game to this point.
Because you can't see it. You can't see the whole ship.
It literally does cover the entire top screen.
And then I love is what happens is in the background, you start seeing the soldiers fighting the UFOs in the background. Yeah. And then soldiers actually come on screen with you, and they start shooting up at the UFO with you. And you really get this in-game sense of, oh, the tides have turned. Now we're all united against this alien force.
That's so cool.
It's awesome. It rules. They also bring you a metal slug tank if you wait long enough, I believe,
if you
wait around.
They do give you a
tank. You don't get it in that entire final stage. It's like, oh, why didn't they give us any vehicles? And then, like, right at the end for the dramatic, like, final half of the mothership battle, they bring out the slug.
Mm.
Which also, I do love that when you get to the very, very end, if you weren't sure about it, they implicitly turn it into the finale of Independence Day. Because the
not
alien,
even trying to hide it.
Yeah. The alien ship opens its weapon, and then one single plane that I think is a custom animation, because you can see the pilot's face. He looks like he's drunk.
Not sure if it is.
You can see a pilot come in, fly his plane into the weapon, it explodes, you know, the world celebrates, happy day, we win. The general falls down. He's okay until he falls flat in his face and gets crushed, which is just hilarious.
Oh, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's tied to like a probing table, isn't he? He's like tied
he's in his underwear.
Experimental, like when Mulder got captured in season 8 of the X-Files.
You're spoiling me. I haven't gotten there yet, Stu.
Oh, damn. Sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, when something happened, I don't know. Who knows? Statue of Limitations. It was probably 1999 or 2001 or something. I'm sorry. I can't anymore.
It's okay. It's okay, Stu. I kind of figured eventually he would meet the aliens. It's all right. But yeah, I think as you said, so this game is, you know, it's a spectacle and a half, but yeah, the hardware limitations and just the general, I think, fatigue of playing through the entire game certainly takes its toll. If you want to enjoy it, mm-hmm. I don't know how many times you can enjoy it in a row, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And like going for like a one credit clear on it, like just the entire final stage is pretty lengthy. It's not as lengthy as what would happen later, but it's kind of a long final stage. And like the general strategy for like fighting the last boss is that you want as many grenades as you can get through the entire stage. Like you can build up to like 50 or so. Like there's a bunch of grenade pickups you can get. And so that means you got to go through the entire final stage without like dying halfway through and having it like get reset to 10. Because if you go into it without like a full stock of bombs, it becomes much harder to deal with the little saucers flying around, because usually you don't have a special weapon for them. So you got to throw a grenade at them to kill them. And it's a bit much. It's a lot.
There's also the fact that because the mothership is above you, it's kind of hard to hit with the grenades, you know?
Yeah,
it's
you have to be on top that top platform and actually, jump and throw them. And if you don't throw them at the top of the jump, then they just kind of whiff and hit the ground and you waste them.
Yeah, so it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I mean, you can shoot your gun straight up, but you can't shoot grenades straight up, so.
Yeah, and you can only throw like a couple at a time in each jump. Like you can't just unload all your grenades at once. So either way, mm-hmm. it's going to be a pretty lengthy battle.
And yeah, slowdown issues. So unfortunately, this is, it's 1998, so you can't just put on a patch online. So 1 year later, they issue a sort of make good, improved ? Version Metal Slug X, which is, this was my, again, I think you said this on stream, so I think BBH, like your first Metal Slug is your favorite. Like this is the one that I played the most. Mm-hmm. So this is the one that's closest to my heart. But yeah, it is very much like it's Metal Slug 2 again. So if you played Metal Slug 2 a lot, there's not that much new here. Although they did add they added three weapons, which is neat. I don't know if they're great weapons, but
excuse me, one of them I believe is the Iron Lizard, is the best weapon ever.
There is the Iron Lizard. There's the Drop Shot, which is like a bunch of bouncing bombs.
Useless weapon.
It's okay on the train stage where you have enemies like hiding behind. That is like maybe the only time like you're ever intended to use the Drop Shot, but there's definitely like troll placements of it in later games where they give you the Drop Shot. It's like, okay, I should have picked up something else. I should have stuck with my default shot.
I do like the enemy chaser. I like the enemy chaser. It chases the enemies. Mm-hmm. It's good against some of the flying enemies. But
did they also add these souped up versions of the regular weapons to this game? Like the flashing heavy machine gun, like the big heavy machine gun and the big...
I think they did, yeah, the big launcher. Laser.
Yeah.
There's a big laser for sure.
Yeah, big laser's awesome.
I forget how you get... Is it just a different pickup, or do you have to like pick up two in a row? I forget how you get the super versions.
No, there are versions of them that just have bigger moving letters. They're like bulging.
They'll be flashing,
It's just a better version of the weapon, basically.
Bigger throbbing guns. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I do think, I don't know if this was intentional or just they wanted to change it up, but I do notice when you play Metal Slug X, even though you do start in the same sort of Arabian stage, which leads to the Egyptian stage, I notice there are a lot fewer of these sort of stereotypical bad guys. It's mostly soldiers now. And I don't know if that was due to complaints or if they just felt like they just wanted to change it, but I did appreciate that change.
It's a welcome change, although it does lead to a degree to slightly less of enemy variety, I suppose.
And I think, doesn't X introduce the zombie, the mummy dogs? The mummy dogs are unique to X, right?
I think so.
Or are they in the first one? In two. I think they're unique to X, where you fight mummy dogs that bark
at you. It all just mushes together, yeah. I don't know. I think it was in X,
when you get the mummy dogs, if you get the shotgun and then you get the line of mummy dogs, you can make them all disappear.
Yep, and they have little bones fly out of them. We should probably mention that the boss of that stage is like you're like a giant tower. There's an infinite tower, and the boss is coming up from underneath you.
Oh, so good!
Yeah,
it's the coolest thing ever, and it's scary as hell. When the first time you see that is a moment, as far as I'm concerned, that is like a gaming moment. The first time you see that boss and it just comes up from underneath you, you're just like the least expected. Well, I mean, you expect something to happen on that tower, but not that fast and from underneath you, and to be made of what appears to be discarded secondhand vehicles. It rules. And then, self-destructing your slug walker or whatever it's called into it is really cool. It's a slugnoid, isn't it? I forget what it's called, that slug, but the one that's like an exoskeleton almost.
Right. Mm. And I think the cannon placement is a little unfortunate in that thing.
Man, this is a sexy episode.
I think like one of the changes in X is that like they brought back the slugnoid for the stage 5 boss after the mutants where you fight that boat boss. Like in 2 you had a slug and it was I felt like it was easier to deal with the boss with the slug, but the regular slug tank, but they changed it to the slugnoid. And the slugnoid's kind of annoying because when it has a health bar like everything else, but when you take a hit, you lose one of the cannons. It has two arm cannons. And so you lose one of the arm cannons, so your rate of fire goes down. And if you get hit again, all you can do is fire bombs. So it's kind of worthless.
It's also a lot even easier to lose than the slug tank because you're always going to be hitting jump and hitting shoot.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using that, so it's very easy to accidentally kamikaze it.
Well, the whole thing with playing for like survival is that when you hold down and press jump to jump out of the vehicle, you're completely invincible.
Yeah,
like you're completely invincible when you jump out, and you have like a second invulnerability, so you can use that to avoid like certain bullet patterns that seem kind of unfair, and then you can get back in, and the vehicle hasn't taken any damage. And that's pretty much instant when you're in the slug, but in the slugnoid, like there's this extra animation of like the arm cannons like moving out of the way before you can jump out. So it kind of screws up the timing on that boss, and I never liked that. That's just another one of those changes in X that I wasn't really on board with.
Can we talk about the most upsetting thing in Metal Slug X briefly? Because I think it might be in 2 as well, but it upsets me so much that I don't want to do a Metal Slug podcast or not mention it. The guy on at the beginning of the train level who's just laying in a deck chair reading a newspaper, and you stab the shit out of him. But you, for some reason, you could just keep stabbing him,
and he drops items.
No other enemy in the game does that. But you can just absolutely slap. I didn't even know he dropped items. How many times must you stab him for him to drop items? What kind of monster would do that?
He'll drop like an apple or something.
Pulling.
You kill a man and take his lunch.
Oh.
He was just living his best
brutal.
Life.
It's really horrible. He looks, he's just like corpse just lying there, and you're just absolutely going to town on it. It's just pulling stuff. It sounded like I hate Metal Slug X, but I actually really like it.
I don't know. My perception of X is like kind of it's kind of weird because like I played two a lot when it was new, and I kind of got tired of it because it was kind of, you know, yeah, a bit lengthier, drags on a bit, had the slowdown and all that. And like, I kind of, it was around that time that I started becoming obsessed with another game on the Neo Geo called Shock Troopers. I could do a whole podcast about that.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was enjoying the hell out of Shock Troopers at the time. And like, I just kind of became, I was playing that game so much. I was like trying to go for higher and higher scores on that. And when Metal Slug X came out, like I just kind of played it, and it's like, oh, it's just a new version of 2. I don't really want to play 2 again. I want to play more Shock Troopers. So like, I kind of didn't play Slug X that much when it was brand new. Like, it's not a bad game, but like, it kind of came out like at a weird time for me in the arcade, I guess. And I didn't really, like I said, I didn't really gel with a lot of the changes that they made to some levels. And I felt like I'd had enough of what 2 and X like provided. And like, I understand, like, if you didn't play 2 and like you came into the series like playing X more, like, yeah, it definitely holds up better. If you didn't already play 2, like, yeah, maybe you like X more if you didn't play 2 first, is what I'm saying. I don't know.
That was the case for me, for sure.
What I like about X is the depth of the secrets rather than as a coherent arcade game experience. It's fun to see some of the weird shit in the game for me, rather than actually sort of enjoy, like the bit, what we talked about at the lab. The fact that there's a secret in that same level where you jump between those jets of gas and you shoot down at the floor and it starts like spewing gems at you. obtuse, bizarre little secrets like that. The miners digging stuff up and then you shoot where they were digging and more stuff comes out.
Right.
That in the same level. This is all in the same level. Shooting. Okay, the best one of the lot. Standing on the barrel and jumping and throwing grenades to make invisible prisoners appear. Stuff like that. Like, weird shit that you wouldn't find without someone telling you or without just stumbling across it and being like, hey,
it's a deep game.
We found this thing. Yeah, I love stuff like that. I always have loved secrets like that. So this is probably the only Metal Slug game that really provides that for me. 3 to an extent, but 3 doesn't for me have that same depth, but mostly because it's just a pain to play.
Well, let's talk about 3. It's time for Metal Slug 3.
Oh, boy. Metal Slug 3 Discourse. My favorite.
It's time for Metal Slug 3. It came out.
This is me rubbing my hands together.
2000, Neo Geo, originally released. And definitely, you can tell going into that, like, okay, well, 2 had a lot of ideas. What if we had even more ideas?
What if we had all the ideas in the world and no one took us aside and went, no, stop. You're ruining the game. You're ruining the game.
Metal Slug 3 is kind of gigantic. It's definitely, you know, I made the big joke at the start, but I definitely, this is too big.
Well, yeah, nice.
It's a lot. It's, I mean, I respect it because there's so much here and there's so much that in certain places, if you don't go to a certain way and, cause now it has branching paths.
That's so, that part's cool.
If you don't go a certain way, you won't see certain enemies at all in the game. They only exist in one corner of the game, and you don't go there, you don't see them.
Oh, I played it today, and I saw the ostrich slug for the first time in my entire life. And I've been playing this game since it was out on like PS2. I played it a fair amount. I only just saw the ostrich slug. Oh, can I please be a little bit mean? But would it be okay with everyone if I was a bit mean and said something slightly mean?
It's okay, not to me though.
Okay, not to you, no. But I'm going to make a very sweeping statement, which I believe with all my heart, okay? I think you speak to people and you say, what's your favorite Metal Slug? A lot of people will say 3. And I think that those people don't care about, like, games that much or having fun. Like, no, I'm serious. When you say to someone, like, oh, it's the same kind of thing when you say to someone, like, what do you think of Sonic CD? And they say, oh, it's a load of ROM hacky crap. You just know there and then to write them off, you know. Like, if you say to someone, what's your favorite Metal Slug? And they say 3. I will go, oh, okay. And, you know, nothing wrong with them as a person, but I will file away in my head. I will file them. I'll compartmentalize them into a little drawer that says, don't talk to them about video games anymore, because they don't understand video games. Like, they don't actually like playing games. They like looking at them, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Metal Slug 3 is one of the most beautiful, most impressive, most boring, I nearly said the F word, games. Like, I don't hate it. I would give it a 6 out of 10, okay? Maybe a 5. But it's so tedious for me. It's so tedious to play this game, to actually play it. It's boring. I don't like it.
Okay, I have a theory that if you... If 3 was, like, the first Slug game you played, like, if you came into the series late and 3 was the one, like, you saw at an arcade and that's the first one you played, it might end up being your favorite if you started with that one.
Maybe.
If you played the other games first, yeah, you might not be as have as favorable opinion of it, because I hate Metal Slug 3. I don't like this game.
Oh, that's harsh.
Maybe I shouldn't say I hate it, but...
Well, if you hate it, you hate it. I mean, it's fine to hate it. It's... For me, I kind of hate it, but there's a lot of stuff about it I like. I just would like not to have to play it to see that stuff, you know?
I think the problem I have is, like I said with the other games, like, the first game was such a fine experience. Metal Slug 2, drags on a little bit, had the slowdown problems. X was just kind of the same thing with some weird changes. And, like, I felt like after X, like, I'd kind of gotten enough of, like, the base engine of the game. Like, I want to see, if I'm going to play a Slug game, like, it needs to give me an experience that does something better than the original. And there's, like, pretty much nothing in 3 that just makes me want to play it over the first one, because like okay, the thing, like, whenever Slug 3 discourse comes up on my stream or something, I'm not even talking about the game and people just start talking about it, or anywhere on the internet I see people talking about 3, like, the one thing everybody brings up is like, oh, the final stage is too long. If they split it into like 2 or 3 parts, like, that would fix things, or if they just made it shorter. I don't think that's the only problem with the game. I think one of the problems is there's just a lot of hit point bloat on enemies and bosses. Like, they just gave a lot of the bosses way too much health. Mm-hmm. That even, like, there's no fast way to do certain bosses, like, unless you have some speedrun tactics that, you know, skip using like a special weapon like the shotgun or the flame shot or whatever, and can stockpile like 50 bombs. But even then, like, it feels like they made this conscious effort to prevent people from just like bomb spamming, because like the worst part of the game is not, to me, it's not the final stage. It's the boss on stage 4, Solde Rocker.
Yeah.
It's this weird alien creature thing, alien contraption that's like floating in the sky, and you can't hit it with grenades. Like, your grenades do not reach. Like, it's always just out of reach. So any grenades you have are completely worthless. And this boss has, like, this – it goes through patterns randomly, and it has this one pattern where it just fires these piercing yellow shots everywhere. There is no discernible pattern to where they're going to go. Like, it kind of turns the game into a bullet hell. But your character does not have the hitbox to deal with a bullet hell shmup, because it's very difficult to deal with this part. And like, a lot of players are just going to die here and just get stuck in this pattern where, because, you know, your jump is a little floaty and it's hard to dodge them. So you just kind of have to guess, hope the pattern doesn't come up. And then when you die, like, you don't have a special weapon anymore. And so you're just fighting it with the pea shooter and there's this very narrow hitbox on it. And like, that boss just embodies everything that's wrong with Slug 3 right there to me. And I just...
That's interesting, because the bosses... I think it's because I played it first on PS2, where I think the difficulty might have been lower. Because of Solde Rocker, I think of as quite an easy boss with quite easy patterns. So maybe that version, for some reason, doesn't bust that out so much. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just misremembering it, you know.
Maybe. I don't know.
The problem for me... Like, the problem with Slug 3 for me is... I mean, all it really is, as you mentioned, everything just takes too many bullets. And, like, I hear a lot of people that praise this game for things, they praise it for things that I think are bad, like the zombie stage on stage two. Oh,
God, yeah.
Because a lot of that gets a lot, so much love. And, you know, it's kind of a cool concept, but what it essentially amounts to is a level that is just a straight line with loads and loads of enemies that take lots and lots of hits to kill. Mm-hmm. And turning into a zombie is cool at first. It makes you move slowly. You've got the cool vomit, zombie vomit attack. That's fun. Mm-hmm. You can turn back if you collect a thingy, you know, a little pill or whatever it is. But the fact, all it essentially amounts to is you're going to die as a zombie, and you're going to have to sit there and watch while the 10 or 15
stupid animation.
Death animation plays for your character.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll respawn only to probably immediately get turned into a zombie again. And the other thing about that level that annoys me is it's got a whole side path that's completely pointless.
Oh, the ice
and
cave,
You do it if you want to get more points, which means if you're playing for score, you've got to do it.
Yeah. You just go all the way to the left and then you go back. It's so pointless.
Yeah, it's the only way to get the elephant slug, and it's not worth the effort as far as I'm concerned.
Elephant slug. Sorry, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, but... Other than that, you've got the fact that they thought it might be fun to go swimming, and it's not fun to go swimming. Everyone knows that it's not fun to swim in video games.
I guess they were trying to pay homage to In the Hunt, I guess, have the underwater sections. Like, yeah. I kind of get that, but also I forgot that, like from the very beginning of the game, like, you're not fighting soldiers or anything. You're fighting these weird crab monsters, and
crabs,
and they take several
20 bullets. Yeah,
they take like at least a few shots to kill. Like, you're the very first enemies in the game are not like cannon fodder enemies that die in one hit.
It's like it's, that. Yeah,
it's a weird first impression to make.
That's the most frustrating thing for me about it is the fact that they forgot it was supposed to be, you know, fun.
Yeah.
It's not. It's meant to be fun. It's not meant to be hard work. And everything about that game feels like hard work to me.
Like, it's cool.
The only
that you
way to make it tolerable is to go into the dip switches and turn it down to easiest possible mode. And even then, it's not really that fun.
I was gonna say it's cool that there's like multiple routes. Like, there's all these hidden routes to find. But at the same time, it also just feels like the game doesn't really have a coherent vision of what it wants to be, because they just like wrote down a bunch of ideas for stages, and it's like, okay, this stage will just like stage one. Okay, you can just go underwater and then come out, and then like there's just these other stages, like the part with the barrels, and it just feels like a bunch of stuff like thrown together. You have the cave where you're fighting those those weird. Like, you get into the drill slug,
yeah,
and you fighting enemies
stage.
There. Like,
Jesus.
Like, the game doesn't really know what it's going for. Like, they just had a bunch of ideas and decided to throw them all together, and it just feels kind of scattershot. Like, I don't know what they were going for, and then you get to the final stage, and oh boy.
I mean, for me, I've got to be fair to the game and say, yes, I'm suitably impressed by the visuals. Like, there's so many enemy types. They all look amazing. All of the bosses look amazing, in my opinion, which doesn't make them fun to fight, but it does go a long way. the final stage, the first few times you play it or whatever, the spectacle and the idea is really cool. Like, your playable character gets abducted and you have to take on the other soldiers that you didn't pick.
Yeah.
To come. Now, that's cool. That's a really cool idea. They did something like that in a game called Mystic Warriors by Konami. They did a very similar gag at the end. but here, you know, respect to that, the epicness, the fact you go into space and you fly up there and then you take down the mothership and then you go, and the final boss is absolutely spectacular, if incredibly easy and stupid. But unfortunately, it's too long. There's too much of every stage, every enemy has too many hit points, and as a result, the crucial X factor, it isn't fun to play for me. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy it. Therefore, I'm not going to say it's the worst Metal Slug, because I don't think it is, but...
I think it is.
It's definitely worse than... I mean, I don't like... I think 6 is worse, I think 7 is probably worse, but That's just my opinion. For me, I wouldn't call it the worst one, but I do think it's the most overrated one. And I hate saying that because sounds stupid. But it's true because, again, people who say it's their favorite don't know what they're talking about.
Like when you get to the point.
I hope that Diamond doesn't now say it's their favorite. That would make this really awkward.
I think Diamond likes X the best.
Yeah,
X said that. Pick. Yeah. But when you get to the part where your original character is abducted and you have to take over as the other character, like okay, yeah, that's clever. And then they throw you into the section where like it's scrolling vertically and they're turning it into a shoot 'em up. And it's like okay,
it goes
that's
on forever.
This is cool for the first minute. For the first couple of minutes, yeah. And then it's just you're shooting more rocks, you're shooting more aliens, the screen transitions, and oh, it's another shoot 'em up part. They haven't really they're not really doing anything different. Like it's just I get it, like the entire final stage is them wanting to like already like the end of 2/X was just this big spectacle of, fighting an alien ship and then it turns into a mothership. And that was really cool. And they're trying to outdo themselves. And so I guess the whole running thing here is that they just keep the final mission going on. And, you fight one boss and then it leads into something else. And it just keeps going to give you a feeling of, how far is it going to keep going? What's the final boss going to be? And then it's just this thing that's falling from the sky for like way too long. And you don't even get to like ride the slug. It actually has the slug captured in its claw. And like, you can jump into it to like fire the missile. But at the same time, you don't get to have a normal vehicle. And there's like, you don't have much room to maneuver. And it's just an awful, awful final boss.
I did the trick there of jumping into the slug to avoid the big mind beam ring thing that it does and then jumping out when it's launching. I think that the spectacle of that boss with the music, the name, like the name of the track I forget, but the classic final mission music in the background while you're in free fall and the giant Mars person has your slug in its grip, the spectacle of that is extremely cool and it goes a long way for me. But again, as we've discussed at length, the game just doesn't just it's just too much. It's too much delicious cake. And anyway, if any of the listeners want to,
oh, there's going to be so many people mad
how I'm wrong about Metal Slug. Don't bother. I'm not going to read them. I am going to read them, really. And I'm going to downvote them if there's a possibility to do that.
I mean, like I said, I like to like try to finish arcade games on one credit. I haven't done 3 yet because I just can't bring myself to play it. Like I've done 1, 2, X, 4, and 5. I haven't done 6 either. But
congratulations on doing 5, by the way.
Yeah, that one was kind of nasty.
Must have been difficult.
It was.
I see 1, 2, and X. I can, while they wouldn't be easy, I can see doing them. I mean, on X, I can do the first 3 stages on 1 life. Mm-hmm. But after that, the gloves come off. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the final stage of X is like the worst part because, like I said, it's really important to stockpile grenades and just have them all for the boss. And it doesn't help that like they changed the Mars people patterns in X, all the Mars people that you have to fight before the boss. And there's some really nasty patterns. I think there's like some new shot types that like they introduced in X, those shots that like start slow and speed up.
That was
another thing that they introduced in X, and like, I don't know. It's another one of those things I have to like keep clear in my mind, like which game it is when I play it.
Well, 1 credit clearing Metal Slug 3 doesn't sound like it would even be fun to try.
I mean, a lot of people have done it.
Having to do that zombie stage over and over again just doesn't sound fun to me. It's a bad stage. What can I say?
Yeah. Like I've seen like speedrunners, like they actually do take the zombie because you can use the big blood rush bomb thing to like take out all the aliens at once. And like apparently it's good for that, but you have to like set it up very, very specifically because you have to like do a very careful amount of damage on those aliens that are like circling around.
Yeah.
Because if you destroy one early, like it starts the rest get more aggressive. So you have to kill them all at the same time. And I didn't like that design. Like, well, yeah, like when I started like trying to play it on 1 credit, like, yeah, the zombie stage just kind of broke me. Like I could do it, but it just wasn't fun.
Well, it's just, I mean that for me, it's like, I don't want to repeat myself too much but I feel like it needs it at this point. When I see people praising that stage as one of the reasons why it's the best one, I just get in my head. I'm just like, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't even like video games like at all to say something like this. This is an insane opinion.
That's pretty harsh, but probably true.
I sincerely hope that the generous patron who requested this episode does not think Metal Slug 3 is their favorite. We'll find out.
I hope that they do think that and that they've wasted their patron money on an episode of this episode. No, I don't want that, obviously. You know what? I tell you what, editor, find out whether it is or not. And if it is their favorite, please edit in the following clip. Oh, I love Metal Slug 3. I think it's great.
It's great.
It's great.
Okay, very good. There we go.
Anyway, Metal Slug 3 was, in a lot of ways, the end of the series, because what happened? Well, in 2001, SNK goes bankrupt.
I think like, the reason, like, 3 has so much shit is in it that it, like, SNK knew the writing was on the wall, so they just decided to, like, put everything in there. It was this and the King of Fighters 2000, which is
absolutely
not the most, like, well-liked KOF. Like, it definitely has its fans, but, like, the amount of, like, stuff they put into KOF 2000, like, all the guest characters, because that's one of the games that has the striker system where you call in another character as an assist, like in Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Yeah.
And so, like, they just went all out on those two games to, like, put as much stuff as possible into them. And, I don't know, it didn't really work for 3, but yeah.
I believe that.
They just wanted to go out with a bang.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I think if you look at, Metal Slug 3 and King of Fighters 2000, they're both overstuffed. And if you go across the aisle to, Capcom 2000 is also Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which is also like a game that's like, there's too much stuff in Marvel Capcom 2, you know? There's just too much. It's beautiful, but it's also too much.
I don't agree with that, because it doesn't fundamentally, like, damage the game like it does this, but maybe it does in like, I don't know, competition level, which I'm not familiar with, to be fair.
It's all right. That's a separate...
All I know is I picked Cable, Trombone, and the Wiser World card slot, and I had the most fun ever.
I mean, that's a game like a lot of people can have fun with, but that's a different topic.
SNK essentially ceases to exist for like a week, and then everyone buys the IP back. I don't know, it's a long story. But when they go out of business, and they go bankrupt, the games continue to exist. Neo Geo, there's still more Neo Geo games that are made. But what happens is the development goes to Noise Factory. So starting with Metal Slug 4, which came out in 2002.
And Mega Enterprise, which was a Korean-based company.
Yes, if you watch the credits in the starting Metal Slug 4, you'll notice that a lot of the pseudonyms are gone, and instead you just actually see Korean names. So,
and aren't they now owned by a Saudi Arabian company? Am I imagining that?
SNK.
SNK.
I think there's a prince has a large percentage of the stock at this point. Yes.
Okay, a prince. Okay.
So Metal Slug 4, what changes? Well, they take out Marco and Tarma. They put in, I want to say, Trevor and Nadia. I believe that's the names.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought they took out Tarma and Fio.
Is Fio gone?
Or was it Tarma? Wait, I'm misremembering. Like, they took out one of the male characters and one of the female characters.
Imagine taking out Fio.
Yeah.
Bastards.
And I don't know. I just feel like when you play this game, when you look at this game, you can recognize that there are new things. Certainly, it sounds different. The music sounds totally different. As we mentioned, that you know, a new music guy takes over, so the music sounds very different.
Okay, I'm wrong. It was Tarma and Eri. Fio is in the game.
Okay.
Oh, thank God. Say it. Sense prevails. Sanity prevails. Yes.
But I feel like when you go through this and you play it, I don't know. It feels like this. Something's missing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you can elaborate. But I remember trying this and being immediately like, oh, this isn't working for me.
I've been shouted at online for saying this, but I kind of like Metal Slug 4.
Okay.
Mostly because I find, even though there is almost nothing new in it, I kind of appreciate how breezy it is again compared to 3. Like, it's really quite an easy game, I find. And I just kind of appreciate that. It's not the blowout that 3 is by any means, by any respect. And that means I can enjoy it as a kind of run and gun. I don't think it's as good as 1 at all. I don't think it's as good as X even, but I kind of like Metal Slug 4. I think it's fine. I'd play it again and I'd probably have a good time.
Yeah, I think it kind of gets a bad rap because, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, the new SNK, or not SNK, Playmore, they're like under this new pressure to like keep making games for the Neo Geo, which is why they kind of had to farm it out to Noise Factory and Mega. So like, there's a lot of reused stuff in the game, and that's like the big problem people have is that there's so much reused stuff. But I mean, like the reason is like, you know, these games are so elaborately like detailed and drawn, and it's hard to like get a new staff in to like mimic that style. So you kind of have to reuse some stuff to like actually like meet the deadlines that were set, because they wanted to, you know, they wanted to keep putting out stuff on the Neo Geo. They wanted to have a new Metal Slug game out. And it's not, it probably could have taken a little more time to produce more new assets for it, but they just wanted to get something out. But no, I actually agree. Like it does have, it has better flow than 3, I guess. Like it's not, it's definitely not, it still doesn't hold a candle to 1, 2, or X, but yeah, like I kind of wrote it off in the first place. Like it's just a slug engine again. And it kind of is, but I mean, it's, for what it is, it's all right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't this the game that has the bit where you drive the little Lupin third car?
No, that's 5.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Well, it's still good, despite the fact that there's no Lupin the third car.
It does have a final stage that's not as bad as 3, but it is kind of lengthy.
I have to say as well, it has the least spectacular final boss in the series.
It's a weird final boss.
It's very odd. Yeah.
It honestly, to me, feels like a rhythm game almost, like because these lasers are coming down and you have to dodge them.
Duck, jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a definite pattern to it if you're paying attention, but it just goes on for so long. It's a boss in multiple phases. Like, you destroy the thing on the right and then the thing on the left, and then you're shooting the thing in the background, and that's the whole rhythm game part.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got that big robot boss with the face that's, like, shooting out, like, poison balloons or whatever. Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, you break its face off, and then like it has an arm that comes out. It's there's some spectacle to it, but yeah, there's also like an elevator level, which is like, oh, elevator level, okay.
But isn't that this might be 5 again, in which case shoot me. But isn't that when you've got the enemies kind of coming down the wall that are almost driving on the wall down towards you, and you shoot and they fly off and explode on the elevator? Because I thought that was cool. They give you a shotgun right before it, and you can just take them out really quickly. I think this is actually 5 again, now that I think about it. Why is all this cool stuff is in 5?
Yeah, I think that's 5.
Yeah, damn, I'm wrong again. Now, 4 is a fine game. It's just nothing. It's not special, but I like it better than 3, and, you know, people are going to get mad about that, so bring it on.
It's all right.
It's okay, but at the same time, like, I felt, like, general fatigue with the series, and it doesn't really, like, do anything better than the original, so it's, like, one of those games that I'm not really jonesing to play again.
They bring back Alan O'Neill as an android.
That's true.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you fight him again, and then once you think he's dead, like half his skin comes off, and you realize he's got a metal endoskeleton. So
that's actually great. I'd forgotten. I remember that happened, but I thought I was in one of the other games. That's awesome.
I think Morden also appears as like there's a robot Morden, I think. But the real bad guy is like this weird sort of side character who was like just seen in the background in other games, like a Dr. Wily type almost.
Yeah, he shows up in 2 and X at the beginning of the Hong Kong stage. Like, the kid shows up, and he starts yelling at the kid when he notices, like, if you pick up his briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that guy. He was just a background character, and now he's the big bad guy. Like, they're just looking for, well, we got to make a new villain. Oh, there's this sprite. We'll use that.
Well, they used every part of the Metal Slug. You gotta appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I guess we should move on to what Stu really wants to talk about, which is Metal Slug 5.
Let's say goodbye to Trevor and Nadia. They're never coming back.
I don't think so. Well, we like Nadia Oxford. She'll be back on the podcast, but not Nadia from Metal Slug 4. Metal Slug 5 is 2003, Neo Geo. We get the original characters back. We get a new slide mechanic. You can slide now. Is that good or bad, BBH?
Oh, God. It's sorry, I'm not BBH.
It's not great. Like, it doesn't get used that much. They force you to use it in the first stage when you get into the temple. Like, there's just this wall you can't get past. And it's like, oh, it can slide. Like, some people might have been, like, skipping the how to play screen or didn't read the little instruction on the mini marquee. But, like, for the 1cc, like, I didn't feel like it gets used that much. Like, on the final boss, it gets used a bit to, like, dodge stuff. But, like, the problem with the slide is it has way too much recovery. Like, it doesn't really feel good.
I was going to say, I'm convinced that last boss has some patterns that require you to slide the last second.
Pretty much.
Because I can't see how else you could beat them.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that last boss. I can't wait to talk about that.
I also mentioned this earlier. Metal Slug 5 is the game that introduced using the D button to actually self-destruct the Metal Slug. Mm-hmm. It took them this many games to figure out, like, don't have A and B together be the command that actually destroys the slug, because it kept happening to people. They had this fourth button on the Neo Geo the whole time for the last 7 years, and they just figured it out.
Metal Slug 5 has a lot about it that I like, that I appreciate. I don't think it's a great game. I think it's quite flawed, but
people love the music.
The big bosses have a chunkiness to them that's almost high-definition chunkiness. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like, the graphic style is slightly different. The enemy, the bosses seem to pop that tank that kind of rears up on its back, kind of on the back of its treads on the first stage. Yeah. It looks chunkier than anything that's ever appeared in a Metal Slug game before. There's, like, that boss that's a big walker climbing down the side of a building that you're in. That's so cool.
Mm.
The final boss is one of the most insane things I've ever seen. It's ridiculous how impressive it is.
Also one of the most inexplicable, because there's no real explanation for it.
There's plot at the end of the first stage, and then they just sort of stop doing it.
Well, because, 5 was kind of, it's another game that was kind of rushed. Like, they were under this deadline to get it out. And they were, trying to do some new stuff. Like, they drew a bunch of new enemies. I guess they were, like, edits of the soldiers, but kind of redrew them a bit. Like, you have a bunch of new enemies. And I guess they wanted like some plot thing with the guy who finds the mask at the end of stage one. Like I think like people found like unused sprites of him piloting whatever that big dragon thing is at the end or whatever. Mm. Like they were going to do something with that, but they just kind of ran out of time. So you have this big final boss. It's this giant dragon that turns into a skull face, and then you shoot it a bunch, and then it just takes off and. That's it.
Yeah, bugs me. There's no death animation. There's no, I've been defeated.
It just leaves.
It just leaves. It just goes away.
See, I have a soft spot for media that's about demons summoning and things like that. Satanic rituals and things like that to summon demons. And I always interpreted this as the guy with the mask summons this thing at the end. But they don't show that. Yeah. It's just total headcanon. But then when you beat it, what you're actually doing is driving it off. So it's like, no, it's not worth this. I'll go back where I came from. And that's my interpretation of it. So for me, I kind of dig it because I'm into that kind of thing. But not. And when I say into that kind of thing, I don't mean actually summoning them. That would be absurd. So I really like that final boss, especially the fact when you see it in the background and it's like got a big, it's got like a big scythe, hasn't it? Like almost death from Castlevania.
Yeah.
And then you get the huge projectiles come down and then when it comes up in the foreground and there's that big skull in the back, in its body, almost like the cosmos. Mm-hmm. It's almost like something out of, it's like a kind of, I hate to say it, but it's like a Cthulhu thing almost, it's, so like something from another world, and I kind of think that's really cool. And the fact they don't explain it almost makes it cooler.
I could see that.
It's just like, nope, here you go, here's the final boss, it's a demon, not explaining it, and at the end it flies off, we're not explaining that either. It's really good for people who like to formulate their own stories in their heads like I do. but I know, I liked this game. I loved the look of the visuals. I thought that the slide, while underused, was a cool kind of thing to add. And I thought the difficulty of this one, while it was higher than 4, didn't reach the heights of success that 3 did. So yeah, I dig Metal Slug 5. It's fun.
I just feel like it's another game that doesn't really have like a coherent vision of what it wants to be. Like, it's kind of all over the place. Yeah, it's always felt weird to me that it starts with an auto-scroller. Like, you're on a boat, like, shooting at stuff. Like, it just feels weird that you start the game in an auto-scroller where you can actually fall off the canoe and die in the water, of course. And that just feels another weird way to start the game.
I thought it was cool that they had... incidentally, don't correct me because I know that they'd made a new entrance for the soldiers to have them swinging in on vines. Then I found out that's actually in Metal Slug 3 on the first stage, in a route I never take. So that was a disappointing discovery.
I don't know. There are some cool things, but at the same time, it has one really awful boss that's one of those really awful for 1cc runs, the sand submarine on stage 4.
That's not fun. That sucks. Agreed. It's like a bad version of that one from X, I think, that shoots the mines up onto the land.
Yeah, but it takes up so much room and just fills the screen with missiles falling down, and there's kind of some randomness to it. I don't like that boss. Nobody likes that boss.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a Metal Slug game if there wasn't at least one completely unfair boss.
So, at the top of the show, I mentioned I only had specific arcade memories of one of the Metal Slugs, and it turns out it's Metal Slug 6. Metal Slug 6 came out in arcades in 2006, so it's the first post Neo Geo Metal Slug. I think it's on a Thomas Wave, probably.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, most
one of the few games that is, yeah.
Yeah. And the big move was, they brought back Ralph and Clark from KOF, and they even have the special moves from KOF. So, as Clark, you can do the Super Argentinian backbreaker on just random guys, to throw them in the air and backbreak them, which is cute, you know?
He looks really happy doing it.
Yeah.
They added special things for every character. The characters now had different properties. They added different moves to them and stuff like that.
So I saw this at a round one here in Osaka. I was actually there in Spocha, which is like their sort of like pay once and just play all you want kind of plans. So this was a machine was on free play, and I was there with my son, who was very young at the time, and we just sort of messed around a little bit, and I was like, oh, cool, the Akari Warriors are back. And then I was like, kind of playing. I was like, well, these special moves aren't that useful in a game where you have to, like, shoot things, you know? Mm. Like, I know doing the moves, like, builds up your combo meter really, really fast, but ultimately, this is a game about shooting things, so I can't, it's really hard to focus on, I can't backbreak a tank, you know what I'm saying? I can't backbreak a tank.
I forget which one it is, but either Ralph or Clark has an extra hit point, which is very useful.
Ralph does?
Yeah. That makes sense.
They're very useful in like particular circumstances. Like Ralph has the Vulcan punch where it's like the mash punch in KOF. And like using that like against like certain tanks can do a lot of damage. And so it's useful for that. Clark's backbreaker is not very useful in terms of like destroying stuff, but for playing for score, like you can only use Clark. Like Clark like completely breaks the scoring system in that game, because if you keep doing the backbreaker on enemies, the amount of points you get keeps going up. And the game has this new thing where there's like a multiplier at the bottom.
Yes.
Where like when you keep killing enemies, it goes up from like x1 to 2, 4, 8 and maxes at 16, and they start throwing coins everywhere. There's like a whole thing in stage one. Like there's this very specific secret you have to activate, like by killing these bats that are on the screen and nothing else. And if you do that, like all these soldiers come down and you can just keep tossing them into the air with Clark because he has iframes after it, so he can't be killed. So you just keep doing that and you completely break the scoring apart. So yeah, it's cool that like they differentiated like every character. Like each character is like a completely different experience. Like Clark has the backbreaker, Ralph has the Vulcan punch, and he can take one hit before dying, which is pretty major. But like the big thing is like they they reduced the amount of ammo you get for like most weapons, unless you're playing Fio, because she gets like more ammo.
Hmm.
And she gets a free heavy machine gun.
And then like Aerie gets more powerful grenades, and she tosses them like a fastball. They just like fly across the screen.
Oh yeah, you can throw them in directionally, can't you? Like up, straight up, and then diagonally and stuff. Yeah.
Marco gets like a more powerful pistol. He basically has a cannon for a pistol. So when you don't have a weapon, he can do a lot of damage. It feels like Tarma has like the least useful thing, which is like vehicles can take more damage, or like they can take more damage and they can do more damage. And he also has the ability to hold down the button and lock the firing direction in place instead of like having to move it around or whatever.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
It felt like Tarma was like the worst choice. I've heard like Marco might be the easiest to 1cc the game with once you've, I haven't 1cc'd it yet, but like Marco like just kind of does more damage with his base shot. Cause like at first I thought, well, pick Ralph cause he can take two hits, but like he doesn't have any of the other buffs. Like he doesn't get more ammo, or he doesn't have a more powerful gun. He just has the Vulcan punch. But it's nice that you have all these options. Like they finally differentiated the characters after all this time. Oh, and that's the other thing. Like they, cause it runs on a Thomas Wave hardware. The Thomas Wave has five buttons instead of four. And whenever SNK like made games on the Thomas Wave, they were like determined to use all five buttons. And so like there's one button that's like if you hold it down, it's like a dedicated melee attack button. Oh, so if you hold down the D button, which is like the light kick button, if you're thinking in like Street Fighter terms, you hold that button down and then you press the A button, that's like locks it. So you only do melee attacks instead of punches. Or instead of shots, yeah. I mean.
And therefore get more points, I guess.
And then you have a button for, like, weapon switching. So you can actually, like, store two different weapons and switch between them on the fly. And I'm not really a fan of that because that, like, it makes you feel like you have to spend more time, like, memorizing, like, which weapons you need for certain spots. Because, like, there's that new weapon, the Zaibatsu, that sword thing that's really powerful. And like it gives you more like room to like experiment and figure out like, do I want to save this weapon and use it on a boss or this mid boss or whatever? But it just becomes this extra layer of complexity that I'm not wasn't really a fan of at the time.
I didn't really like this one for various reasons. I think that there's something about the Atomos Wave that makes the backgrounds and terrain look uninteresting.
Oh, it looks, if you look at this, the whole thing just looks flat. I feel like, you know, there's a flying stage and it looks like you're just flying past this GIF of just like, you know, some waves in the background and like a cloud pattern. Like it's totally.
There is stuff I do like some of the hidden alternate routes are fun to find. Yeah. Like there's one, I think, on the first level where you almost have to climb a sort of mesa in the background. And it's actually quite difficult, but it's rewarding if you do, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. Mostly because you've got a tank by then, so you're platforming in a tank, which is always fun. But other than that, it just feels like here's another Metal Slug game. Unfortunately, I feel like they've gone back into the kind of credit munching difficulty of 3 a little bit. But then again, I am no expert. I do not play to one credit clear, so I can only go by my own experience. And for me, I thought this game was just kind of too hard and in a not fun way, but nowhere near as bad as 6 was. As 3 was.
Yeah, it's weird because I haven't like spent the time like trying to learn to 1cc this yet, because like I respect the game for like actually like differentiating the characters and all that, but like there's just something about like the levels that just make it there are some weird secrets in this game you have to learn to like make certain items appear. Like I don't even know all the details. I've watched replays and I don't even remember them. But like it hasn't really clicked with me. And like I keep meaning to like go back and play it some more to like try to see if it clicks, but it still hasn't yet. I don't know. It's a weird game.
And it's also if we're not talking emulation here, I think it's one of the more difficult ones to actually play, if only because I think that when it was first brought over, it was on the Metal Slug Anthology, and that isn't an ideal way to play any Metal Slug game. Is my understanding. I think 6 may have been slightly better in terms of input lag because it was actually a direct port. Am I wrong about this? I don't know. Because you can buy Metal Slug 6 for PS2 on PS3, mm-hmm. on a Japanese PS3, or you can buy the Metal Slug Anthology that has it on, but the Metal Slug Anthology has horrifying input lag on the PS2 version. And especially if you're playing it through a PS4 or 5, it's a nightmare. So to play Metal Slug 6, you can either emulate it, which isn't that easy because of the whole Atomos Wave thing. It genuinely is not that easy to do. Mm. Or you can buy one of the obscure other versions of it. So it's not as accessible as many of the other games, unfortunately, which are on Arcade Archives.
Atomos Wave emulation's kind of gotten better. Like the version of Flycast that Fightcade uses is pretty good for like playing it, I guess.
It's been ported to Dreamcast as well, which is, you know.
I was just going to say, I was thinking of all the Atomos Wave games that have been ported to Dreamcast lately. I was like, surely Metal Slug 6 is on their list. So, yes.
Yeah, it is on the list. So there is that. That is one way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only say it's not as easy because you can't just get it on MAME. You can't just get it like.
Yeah. And they don't sell it on the arcade as an Arcade Classics Archives port on the PSN or Switch and all that.
No, and I wish they did because I'd like to have that on the Switch.
All the Neo Geo Slug games are there and can be purchased, but not that one.
And they run I think they run really, really well as well. Really good ports.
Yeah, they do good work on the ports.
Well, Metal Slug 6 was the end of the arcades for Metal Slug because Metal Slug 7 debuted on the Nintendo DS in 2008.
Although it did load of old crap. Sorry.
And then it got a quick rebrand remake as Metal Slug XX on PSP, which has since been ported to XBLA. So it's probably you could probably still buy it on Xbox if you want it.
You can.
This is easily the one I've played the least of, and I think the least about. Stuart, help us.
I don't like it. I think it sucks. the fact they launched it on the DS was just a kind of a "what are you doing" moment, really.
It's like, single player,
it
right?
It's fine, but I'm not sure about that. I think it probably is. Yeah. All I know is it looks like garbage because they've squashed all the graphics up to fit the DS. And you know, on the one hand, it's a relatively full featured Metal Slug game that runs on the DS. That's kind of cool. Mm. You know, on the other hand, it's really boring. Like it's really uninteresting, and there's nothing about it that stands out to me. And on even the XX version, where you're playing it on your PC or Xbox or whatever, it's essentially just kind of polishing a turd. It's a nicer looking version of the DS game. Therefore, it's still the DS game. Therefore, it's not that fun to me. It's not terrible. Like all the Metal Slug games, even the worst ones, I think have something about them that I like. But I don't see why I should be nice to it for belonging to a series that I like. it's not very good. I don't recommend it at all. I'd play 3 over it, I think, just because it's got some visual invention to it. And this one, XX, doesn't. There's nothing new at all. It's all from 6, except it's not even as impressive looking as 6. So I don't even know why it's a direct sequel. I don't know why they just didn't call it Metal Slug DS or something.
Yeah, or make a
it's like Sonic Force. It's like a Sonic Force situation, you know? Like, oh yeah, this is the superior sequel to Sonic 3 and Knuckles. Is it, Sega? Is it really? I'll save that for my episode, which is just me yelling at Sega for 2 hours.
I look forward to being on that and just listening and laughing in the background.
No one else will be on it. It will just be me.
Just you? Just you and the boy?
Yeah, screaming.
I think we've reached the end of the slugs, honestly. Metal Slug didn't die, of course. Metal Slug still exists. But honestly, at this point, it's sort of this weird sort of property they bandy about. There's Metal Slug smartphone games. There are Metal Slug tactics games. There's a Metal Slug Facebook game.
Isn't one of them really lucrative? Isn't one of them being really popular and lucrative? Metal Slug Defense, maybe?
I think that one's doing pretty well. I see a lot of updates about it. So
it was they started with like Metal Slug Defense, and then they stopped that and made a new game that was basically Metal Slug Attack, which was basically the same thing, but they made it like way grindier.
Yeah.
That you had to like grind for materials to get stuff. And then they started introducing like all these new, like, they were like usually these female characters, waifu bait, to like get people to,
I see,
to spend money for those. And I guess it was doing well for them. I don't know. I tried it. Wasn't really for, I don't know. It was too grindy.
They are making a new Metal Slug, aren't they? A new 2D Metal Slug is supposed to be on the way. No, wait. It's not 2D, is it? I think we've seen footage of it, and they've made it like 2.5D or something. Am I imagining that? I'm sure I remember seeing a trailer for 2.5D.
Well, they're making some kind of new game.
I know there's Metal Slug Tactics coming from Dotemu.
Says TBA on Steam, so it has a Steam page, but it doesn't have a date.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to figure that given what's going on with SNK recently, the fact that they made KOF 15, they made a new Samurai Showdown a few years ago, they seem to be getting back, you know, after years of just licensing out their names, they seem to be getting back into the dev business at least. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure Metal Slug is going to be on whatever list of things they have to bring back, you know?
I'm certain that I've seen a 2.5D one. Maybe it was another mobile game or something.
I know I've certainly seen plenty of indie games that look like Metal Slug. You know, people like to make Contra games. People also like to make Metal Slug games. Obviously, they can't compete with the level of animation and art detail. But I've seen my share at BitSummit of games that are just like, oh, this person clearly loves Metal Slug, and they made this game that looks like it. So
yeah,
I definitely appreciate the fact that, you know, we may never see a Metal Slug 8. But on the other hand, I don't know that we need a Metal Slug 8 because we can play something else.
Yeah.
As far as legacies go, I mean, some of these characters appear. I know, is it Marco or Tarma who's in Neo Geo Battle Coliseum?
Marco.
Marco.
And I feel like Fio is she one of the Another Strikers in KOF 2000?
I think Fio is in KOF Maximum Impact 2 as
she
well.
She was, Impact. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Those games.
Which also had a training stage where you beat up a Metal Slug tank.
Ha! That is good. That's a good idea.
I am the only person on the planet who thinks Maximum Impact 2 is awesome. And I only think it's awesome because of all the Neo Geo fan service in it, which is lots.
I enjoy the cover of the covers of the Esaka stage, the stage music. But I think we've reached the end of the battle here. So
mission all over?
The end of the mission. Almost. Mission all over.
You're stealing my outro bit. But no, as far as if you wanted to play Metal Slug today, you actually have a lot of options. Six is maybe the hardest one, but yeah. There's been a variety of compilations. Most of them are being sold a la carte on Arcade Archives or Steam. Depending on what region you're in, the Neo Geo Mini has them. That Neo Geo Arcade Stick, that big thing they sell on Amazon, that has some Metal Slug games on it.
Hold up, quick word of warning. Do not buy any Steam port that's sold by Dotemu, because they made some awful, awful ports of Neo Geo games. Like I think the Metal Slug and Metal Slug 3, like they just have, they don't run at the right frame rate. The sound chops up.
They're not good ports.
Yeah. Like I actually have like the Steam port of Shock Troopers, and it's just like one of the worst things. Like I tried to like write a review for it, and it was so scathing that I had to like cut it down four times to get it into the Steam like character limit. Like anything that's like published by Dotemu for the Neo Geo on Steam is bad, and you should not buy it.
And
I mean, Dotemu's kind of turning they're kind of turning things around. Like they just published the TMNT Shredder's Revenge, and that's pretty fun. Playing that was pretty good. But
didn't they publish Streets of Rage 4 as well?
That's too. Them. Yeah. Windjammers 2 also.
And that game rolls. And they're also I think they're behind the upcoming Metal Slug Tactics game.
Yeah. Yes, we mentioned
but
that.
If you want to buy and support the original Neo Geo games, look for the Arcade Classics Archives versions, the ACA ports that are, you know, on Switch, PSN, Xbox. I think they're on the Windows Store also. Those are the ones you want.
If you want to play,
they just don't have online play, which is a problem.
If you want to play Metal Slug 6, it's easy. Simply get a PS3, create a Japanese account for it, buy some yen via time cards, attach the yen to your console. Buy a Metal Slug 6 and it's standalone port. What's the problem? Just go and do it now. Anyone could.
So our final thoughts. It sounds like you two both agree that Metal Slug 1 is the best Metal Slug. Is that how you feel about that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
King. Best game in the series by far for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm still partial to X because, like you said, that's the one that struck me the most, and I've spent the most time with it. But certainly, I do appreciate you know, the cohesiveness of one. You know, they had an idea. Mm-hmm. They went all out for it. They made this incredible looking 2D game at a time when 2D was already sort of being looked at with side eyes. So I really respect them for that. I hope, you know, part of me hopes Metal Slug returns, but I also know that in this day and age, I don't know that if it came back, it would necessarily look or feel the same. So mm-hmm. maybe it's okay to let it go. You know, I've let go of a lot of things.
Yeah. It's like I said, I just felt like a lot of general fatigue of the engine they were using for all the 2D games. So if they do something new in like 2.5D or whatever, and like it ends up being pretty, if it feels good, yeah, I'm all for it. But that remains to be seen.
Before we go, can I say one more thing really quickly?
Yes.
The Neo Geo Pocket Color Metal Slug games are awesome and you should play them. Thanks.
Yes, I'm sorry. We didn't have time to get into all the other games, the spin-off games. You know, there was a 3D version on the PS2. There are a lot of other Metal Slugs out there.
Oh, but man.
This core series,
Metal Slug Advance.
This core series as we know it, was the focus of our episode today. Oh, I should mention my name. The patron, Alan Berry. Patron Alan Berry requested this episode. Thank you so much, Alan, for supporting Retronauts. And we appreciate that, and we hope this met with your satisfaction. We hope you don't love Metal Slug 3, and if so, you can write to Stu. Stu will read all your messages and respond to them in longhand.
I will, yes.
And he'll make judgments about you.
Dear Alan, oh, I love Metal Slug 3. I think it's great.
No.
Love, Stuart Chip.
All right, actual ending time. Let's start. Please, Lord BBH, tell people one last time about you on the internet, where people can find you.
Twitch.tv/LordBBH. Yeah, I do a stream of at least a few times a week, usually arcade games. I like to go for one credit clears on stuff, and I also do that Neo Rankmaster stream where I'm just going through the entire Neo Geo library. That's usually every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I kind of alternate between the 1cc BBH and the Neo Rankmasters, and I'll do some other streams during the week usually, but that's kind of my thing. I also put like all the archives on YouTube. If you just search for Lord BBH, you'll probably be able to find them.
Hmm. And are you also on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, Lord BBH.
All right. Stu?
Yes?
Yes.
Sorry.
The finale,
on Twitter,
Stu.
On Twitter, at Stupacabra. You can find my writing on Retronauts on Nintendo Life, Push Square, Rock Paper Shotgun, Retro Magazine, etc., 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 etc. And also, because I'm not going to get another chance to plug this, my webcomic Mary Hell is about to start again. MaryHellComic.com. Please go and read it. Thanks.
Thank you, yes. Stu. And this has been a Retronauts. So thank you to Alan Berry. If you'd like to be more like Alan Berry, you can support us on Patreon.com/Retronauts for $3 a month. You get episodes 1 week early, and they're at a higher audio quality. If you pay $5 a month, which is just $2 more, you get 2 bonus episodes every month, and you get weekly columns from me, and I read you the columns, not in person. I record them, but you can play them in bed if it makes you feel better.
Oh, I do.
Speaking of which, me, if you like me or you just want to listen to me more, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch. I need to get back into Twitch, but F-E-I-T, it's my last name. C-L-U-B, it's a regular English word, Fight Club. And I think we should just, let's throw our gun in the water and call this a podcast. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Rocket launcher.